Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. Flights delayed nationwide after an FAA computer glitch in a system that processes flight plans. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston is among thousands of passengers delayed in Atlanta, one of the hardest hit airports.
With Atlanta's National Airspace Data Exchange network still out of service, departing flight plans for the entire nation are now being handled by the only other network system in Salt Lake City. Here in Atlanta's Hartsfield International Airport, departure delays are running up to 90 minutes. While the system keeps track of departing flights, the impact of the outage has already spilled over onto arrivals with a ground stop at airports around the country, including Hartsfield.
Also hard hit airports in Chicago and Baltimore. Finding a bargain airline ticket is about to get harder. Another airline, Southwest, is cutting back on its domestic flights because of high fuel prices.
One aviation expert says this is just piling it on.
I think the problem is that this is on top of a lot of other cancellations by a lot of other airlines, and the cumulative effect will be tough on passengers.
David Stempler is president of the Air Travelers Association. He says leisure flyers will be especially hard hit.
I think it's going to be throughout the country, but places like Orlando and Las Vegas, I think, will be hardest hit.
In fact, airlines have scheduled 15% fewer Orlando flights for October than a year ago. Stempler says despite full flights, high fuel costs and competitive airfares make it tough for them to make a profit. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Commissioner Bud Selig announced today that Major League Baseball will allow instant replay beginning Thursday. Scott Miller, a baseball columnist for CBS Sportsline, says new ballparks and their outfield fences have made it difficult for umpires to see the ball.
The instant replay will not be balls and strikes. It won't be a guy slid into home plate, was he safe or out. Those calls by the umpires will stand. This is boundary calls, as they call them, home run calls.
It's Hillary Clinton's turn at the podium tonight, and she will not only offer her support to Barack Obama, but seek to convince her supporters that he's the right choice for president.
I'm very passionate about Senator Clinton.
Ramona Martinez proudly admits the Colorado superdelegate so far refuses to endorse Barack Obama, and she has fought hard for a full roll call vote on Clinton's nomination.
Hillary Clinton got over 18 million votes. Those votes should be heard at this convention.
A unity call from Clinton in tonight's speech is critical, she says, to win over delegates who still don't want to let go. Barry Bagnato, CBS News at the Democratic National Convention, Denver.
President Bush has condemned Russia's decision to recognize two breakaway provinces within the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. White House spokesman Tony Fratto.
Russia is making, a number of irrational decisions.
Russian tanks and troops went into the disputed territories earlier this month in a five-day war with Georgia, which is a key U.S. ally. Hurricane Gustav arrived in Haiti today, punishing that area with heavy rains and winds now about 75 miles per hour. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow up 26 points. This is CBS News.
Labor Day weekend is the perfect time to paint. And during the Ace Labor Day sale, now through Monday, you'll find money-saving deals on everything you'll need to get your painting done right. Plus, some of the greatest service in the business. In fact, for 2 years in a row, Ace has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores by J.D. Power & Associates. For expert help and friendly advice, get to your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Here at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels, we're giving you triple choice privileges points and you don't even have to lift a finger. Well, maybe just one finger. I mean, you got to book at choicehotels.com, which involves clicking a mouse. But we promise you won't even break a sweat. So this fall, start earning free nights faster. Book your stay at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE to get triple points starting with your second stay.
We'll see you there.
Reservations must be made at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE at qualifying rates. Valid 9-1 through 11-30-08. See choicehotels.com for details.
Are those buses on the highway safe? Texas authorities have revoked so many licenses they fear many of those buses may be back on the roads illegally. Reporter Alan Skaya has more from Houston.
300 companies have permission to operate in Texas. The Department of Transportation has revoked more than 200 licenses in the past 2 years.
We are follow up on any kind of a complaint we get or issue that arises, then on our own, there's a lot of initiatives we have taken.
The Motor Carrier Division's Robert Anderson says not every investigation stems from a complaint.
Some expired where they just had not renewed the vehicles. When it's time to renew, sometimes these motor carriers forget.
He says the state is still researching how many grounded companies might have started running under a different name. Alan Skaya for CBS News, Houston.
You don't see a lot of phone booths these days because so many of us have cell phones. Now those big blue postal service mailboxes are being scaled back because so many of us pay our bills online and send emails rather than letters. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Bowl.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot. Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life. Take action. Call Fresh Start America. They are proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt.
Fresh Start negotiated with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Individual results may vary. Not available in all states.
Call now for your free consultation.
800-695-0261.
800-695-0261.
That's 800-695-0261.
America is on the road to regime change. Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins.
Of the Democratic National Convention from Denver, I'm Peter B. Collins here in the Mile High City. We've got a lot of great people lined up to talk with today. Coming up in a few minutes, Beth Robinson from Military Families Speak Out. Also going to talk to Drew Weston, the professor from Duke, I think. He's written a book called The Political Brain. Mimi Kennedy from Progressive Democrats of America. John Nichols from The Nation. Rich Trumka, he's a senior vice president of the AFL-CIO. Congressman Gerald Nadler of New York. Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland. Paul Rykoff from Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And also Bruce Rayner, who is president of the Unite Here, the labor union, and Ari Melber from The Nation. All guests are scheduled and subject to change because of the organized chaos here on Radio Row in Denver. And I want to thank all the people who've made this possible, including listeners who have made contributions to cover some of our travel costs here. No corporate sponsors, and we're not against corporate sponsors. They just aren't interested in us. So I want to thank the people who dug into their pockets. Most recently, Tom Unziker of Santa Cruz, the guy who rode his bike all the way to Washington, D.C. last winter to bring courage to Congress. Thank you, Tom. And if you want to call into the program, keep in mind this is like speed dating. Our guests change with every break, so you got to be lickety-split. George Miller, the congressman from the East Bay, a great Democrat, is with us right now. If you'd like to talk with him, you got 10 minutes. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. George, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's great to see you. And how are you feeling here in Denver?
I'm feeling very excited.
Unifying convention.
No, this is going to be great. This is had a great night last night, and we're going to have a great convention, and I think we're going to go out of here unified, and we're going to elect Barack Obama President of the United States.
We need a bounce here. The polls show it's really tight.
It's going to be tight.
I'm surprised by that because McCain has come up. Obama hasn't really moved, but why is McCain's support increasing?
Well, I think that some of it is around the foreign affairs issue that that is always there. He's you also have to understand that he is, you know, he is recognized that he has very little to offer this country that's different from George Bush. So the best hope he has is not to compete on the issues with Barack Obama, but to essentially try and destroy him.
To Paris Hilton
and to Paris Hilton, or to bring up all of the mischaracterizations, the lies, the rumors, all of the innuendo, and just lay them out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing more dangerous for this democracy than the Republican organization between Labor Day and Election Day. We've seen it. They're fully prepared to destroy any candidate. They don't care what they say. They don't care where they play it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care who sees it. And it's a tough one to counter. Barack Obama has tried to run this campaign representing a change in which campaigns have been run, and that's been rather dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And the results for him have been good. And he'd like to stay on that course. They would love to drag him down and to have him get into the mud and wrestle with them and make them co-equals.
But Biden's going to be the Saturday Night Wrestling champ, right? He'll be out there mixing it up.
Biden's a rough and tumble player, and he has been on Capitol Hill and in campaigns. And I think he's going to serve us well. He has served with John McCain. He knows that record, mm-hmm. and he knows how wrong he has been on the critical issues that confront America's families, that confront this country, that confront this economy.
And so, how do we take on the POW card? McCain keeps playing that. He was on Jay Leno last night, and when he was asked how many houses he has this answer about, well, I spent 5.5 years without a house and a kitchen table. Wait a minute. That's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant, and it will become more so. It's an important piece of his history. It's a remarkable story, but it's not going to change the economy. It's not going to change climate change. It's not going to change the energy situation. It's not going to change the education system in this country. It's not going to change the health care system. So he's simply not going to provide the answers, and he knows that. He's playing that card simply to survive. He's playing that card simply to stay even in the polls, and he's hoping that America will decide that's what he has to offer, and it's simply not enough if America's going to be a leader in the world, and it's going to change things here at home
mm-hmm.
for the benefit of America's families. This isn't complicated.
Yeah.
They have very little to offer. He has endorsed most of the Bush policies that have brought us to this disastrous economy, that has brought us the subprime problems, that has brought us 8 wasted years on energy, on climate change, on health care.
Mm-hmm.
8 years we have just thrown away under the Bush administration. And what McCain has suggested is you could throw away another 4 years with him, but he would have been a POW. That's just not sufficient for America.
Congressman George Miller with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And George, I'm very proud that Nancy Pelosi became Speaker, and I know you were instrumental in her rise to the leadership. But it pains me to say that after almost 2 years in the leadership, I can only give the Democrats a D+. On the most critical issues, ending the war and occupation and bringing our troops home, there's been no real progress, and it's Barack Obama.
But it has nothing to do with the Democrats. The Democrats passed a bill out of the House and the Senate to establish a timeline
yes.
to end the war, and the mm-hmm. president vetoed it. We have 51 votes in the Senate. We do not have 67.
Right. But in 2008, we continued to fund the war, and in fact gave the president
We do not have the votes to cut off the funding. Simply do not have the votes.
But there's the prerogative not to originate a bill with full funding.
That's an interesting prerogative in theory. But the fact of the matter is, one, you don't have the votes to do that because you would simply not have the votes not to initiate the funding, including Democrats.
But David Obey said, don't
treat the Democrats as some monolithic party. We represent all regions of the country, from Mississippi mm-hmm. to Louisiana to Vermont and New Hampshire, and you know, this is a party. And you do not have the votes not to initiate that. It only takes 218 people to put a discharge petition on the floor and say, put that bill on the floor. We want to vote on it. That's the Democratic system that protects the minority, that protects people who feel they're disenfranchised in the Congress. So this is all interesting, but you don't have the votes for these actions. We would love to have the votes. I didn't vote for this war in the beginning. I haven't voted for the funding of it, and I think it's criminal
mm-hmm.
that it continues. But the fact of the matter is the votes aren't there. That's what this election is about.
Okay, big disappointment...
We have a person running that wants that timeline, that wants these troops out in 16 months.
And I support that.
Wants to change the funding. Well, people have to make up their mind. They can keep lamenting that we don't have the votes,
votes, or we can get the votes and we can change the country and change the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand that. Now, the other key issue for me is FISA. And I believe you voted the right way on that. You didn't vote for the FISA amendments. But, you know, we saw the leadership holding out in using what I consider to be inspired inaction by not responding to the Senate bill back in February.
What you saw was the leadership refused to take a bill right before a congressional break where if we did not take up that bill, they were challenging the patriotism of the Democrats, the members of Congress, and all the rest of that. And the Speaker and the members stood tough and said, we're going to negotiate this.
And that was a great moment.
It was a great moment. Then again, you've got to go to the votes. We negotiated a bill that put the FISA court back in business. We did not get to deal with the issue of immunity because we did not, again, have the votes. It's this business of somehow we can just do whatever we want when you don't have the votes. It takes 60 votes in the Senate to defeat a filibuster, and we didn't have it. We didn't have it on FISA. But what we did prevent was them from not only stripping immunity, but stripping the involvement of any courts in the decisions they make. I would prefer that the courts go first, but at least we know the courts are going to be there to review each and every one of these decisions. And then we hope to have a new administration, and we can visit this issue again. But it was a remarkable victory from the time when they said, take it or leave it, or you will be painted as unpatriotic. And the Democrats in the House, and I'm so proud of them, from the South, from the East, from the West, stood up and said, we're not going down that road. We think there's a better deal for our Constitution, for American citizens, and for the security of this nation. And we got that better deal. But it's the best deal we could get. There wasn't another deal to get. Had that vote not taken place, we would have gone back to the Senate vote, and people would have felt compelled that they now had to vote for a FISA bill. So this is really a dramatic, I think skillful, play by the Speaker to get a much better product than anybody said we could get. When she had to say, we're not going to take that vote. Everybody insisted that that was the only vote available to the Democrats. We got a better deal. And the fact of the matter is,
the better deal still rolls back my Fourth Amendment rights, George.
It's the only deal you could get. If you got nothing, you had nothing.
No, if we had nothing, the original FISA law would be in effect, and they could still wiretap with a court order.
No, that wasn't the deal that was on the table.
That right, but the House did not have to pass a bill. The Senate bill would have stalled.
The reason you were able to hold the vote was there was enough confidence in the members that they would give their proxy to the Speaker to let her go into one more negotiations. If that negotiations wasn't successful, it would have reverted to the Senate bill that was offered us without the FISA court.
How could that Senate bill
have
passed?
Because that Senate bill would have passed because Democrats would have voted for it if they didn't have the option for a better deal. They were going to vote for a FISA bill, even if it was bad.
But it had to pass the House in one form or another.
It would have. That's my point. It would have.
You're saying the Senate bill would have passed.
The Republicans would have offered a motion to recommit with that Senate bill in it, and at that point we would have lost the members of the Democrats that would have felt vulnerable to that. This is a coalition that we have. Mm-hmm. We'd love to increase our numbers, but that's what this election is about. That's why this election is so fundamental.
Okay, will you fight to restore my Fourth Amendment
absolutely.
Rights?
Absolutely. That's why I spent my whole career doing that. You know, and that's why when people look at what's happening to working families, what's happening to our First Amendment rights, what's happening to our international standing, what's happening to our economy, what's happening to us on the energy front. This president had choices he could have made over and over again on energy, and every time they said no and the Republicans voted no. That's why this election is so critical. For people who think that there's a luxury here and maybe they're not going to vote for Obama because they're a little upset about what happened here, there, or other thing, they better take a look at what's at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that John McCain agreed with these policies, including torture. He agreed with these policies,
yes, he did.
And he's fully prepared to carry them forward. There will be no change in the FISA bill if John McCain's president. No change in the torture policy if John McCain's the president. So that's what's at stake here. Not some vision of, we could have, should have, or maybe been able to do this. This was the best that was available. We think we need more. We think we need better. But we also think we need the vote so we can accomplish it under the Democratic system where you got to get the votes in Congress.
George Miller with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. One more issue, and we talked about this a little before we started. I talked to reporter Greg Palast earlier today, and he says that here in Colorado alone, as many as 20% of registered voters will be scrubbed from the rolls and may show up in November and only get a provisional ballot. We know those provisional ballots don't get counted. I'm really concerned that the gaming that the Republicans have approached our elections with, voter suppression, vote caging, purging the rolls, outsourcing purging of the rolls, that these could
amount... And most importantly, a Justice Department that looks the other way.
Absolutely.
A Republican Justice Department that looks the other way on these complaints.
So are the Democrats vigilant about these issues and what could undermine...
We're as vigilant as we can be. There's Democratic members of Congress that have led this fight. Rush Holt, Maxine Waters, and others have led this fight on voter irregularities because it's broader than just that action. But again, anytime you try to do something that's significant, you simply don't have the votes in the Senate to move forward. We've sent a number of efforts through the Congress. We simply don't have the efforts. But you know, you need a Justice Department, you need state's attorney generals, you need county clerks to blow the whistle and to understand what's taking place, because there's too many euphemisms in the name of purging the rolls, cleaning the rolls, getting it accurate, getting it efficient, lowering the cost. They cost people the rolls, and we know who those people most likely to be purged are.
Yep.
They're people in lower social economic groups in this country. They're the people most likely to stand in line. They're the people most likely to have the largest precincts. They're the people most likely to have the machines moved out of their districts.
Yep.
And that's all part of denying Americans the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most serious issue facing this country.
Well, I'm glad you're aware of it, and please stay on it. It's something we care a lot about.
Discussing it also.
George Miller, Democrat from Martinez, California. Thanks for joining us here in Denver.
Thank you.
Great
to
see you.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a break and return here along Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention. Live from Denver, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Thank you, Rachel.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
There's a good reason why SC41 Furniture is using all-natural, chemical-free mattress components. A lot of us have asthma, allergies, or trouble breathing at night. We deserve a clean, pure sleeping environment to breathe more freely. And for the rest of us, we want a mattress that we know has no chemical residues or odors. Our natural latex and all our textile components are certified ecologically pure. That's the SC41 mattress. We're so convinced that all natural is the way to go that we're also carrying old world craftsman quality furniture that is extremely sturdy, beautiful, and eco-friendly. And we've developed a line of special oxygen pillows for deeper sleep through deeper breathing. At SC41 Furniture, we have a reason for the things we do. Well, actually, several reasons. And they all add up to a clean, healthier, and comfortable place to be. SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Oh, I remain your humble host, Peter B., live from Denver, Colorado, the Democratic National Convention. And this is an equal opportunity convention. Republicans are here, too. I've told you about Armstrong Williams and that guy from New York who's obstreperous. And now Jeff Sadowski, not necessarily obstreperous, but he's a spokesperson for the McCain campaign. Welcome, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm always interested in talking to all kinds of people. So we may not agree about things, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk.
Exactly.
And so I'm glad you're here to present your candidate's point of view. Let me ask you quickly. Last night he was on Jay Leno, and he was asked this question about how many houses he and Cindy own. And he responded with the POW card by saying that we should feel sorry for him because of his experience there. And I have a great respect. I know a guy who was there at the Hanoi Hilton with him, Dr. Phil Butler. And so I don't diminish that experience in any way, shape, or form, but it's totally irrelevant to how many houses he has. Well, and why he would bring that up is I don't know, it just seems desperate on his part to try to distract us from the issue that he's a wealthy man.
There's no doubt about it. He is, you know, he has lived a very fortunate life, and I think he'll be the first person to tell you that. He and Mrs. McCain share a number of residences, and Mrs. McCain is part of her personal investments, also has some others.
Mm-hmm. You know, but is she still invested with Charlie Keating, or is that over?
Come on, I don't. No,
she invested in a shopping center with him in the 1980s.
That's the 1980s. But yeah. getting back.
Okay,
to
but he's bringing up Hanoi from 1969, and don't want to hear about the 1980s.
Joe Biden, in his first speech as the vice presidential nominee, talked about how John McCain wasn't sure, or something along the lines of, we wasn't sure which of his kitchen tables he was going to talk about or discuss these issues. And John McCain simply said, you know, I know what it's like. I've been through tough times. You know, whether it's tough times as in the U.S. Senate, tough times as a POW.
Mm-hmm.
I understand these issues, and then we need to get back to,
because as a POW, I want to hear him speak out against torture. I want to hear him call for the return of habeas corpus.
And you know, and you know,
the end of the military commissions.
You know he has done that, speaking out against torture.
Yeah, but he sold out. Cheney tricked him, and Bush used a signing statement to eviscerate the McCain amendment to the 05
U.S. Senate
supplemental.
John McCain has spoken out numerous times, you know, against his party when he disagrees with it. And that's what he caved on torture. That's what this campaign's all about. You know, when times get tough, John McCain has put his country's interests first ahead of his own personal or political ambitions. I don't think you can say that about the other side. Talk to me about a couple times when Barack Obama has broken with his party to bring about bipartisan reform. And we also talk about, you know, when you talk about these houses, this houses issue.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about who has a better plan to keep Americans who are struggling to pay mortgages, who are possibly going through foreclosure or forced, you know, refinance and are not sure how they're going to pay that next mortgage bill. Who has the better plan? And John McCain has put forth a comprehensive homes plan that would allow more Americans a better opportunity to keep, you know, get out of those mortgages that have taken them down the wrong path and get to a place where if they, you know, mm-hmm. if they're accredited.
Okay, I've only got 30 seconds. What about the offshore drilling flip? I supported Mr. McCain when he courageously parted with his party.
party and said, I don't believe in offshore drilling and it wouldn't produce enough oil anyway. Now all of a sudden he supports it and he picked up $1 million from the oil barons shortly after that.
When we look at gas prices at upwards out west, well above $4 a gallon.
No, it dropped below $4. They're teasing us before the election.
We need to look at all of the above approach. More nuclear, more drilling.
I agree with that.
More conservation, more increased technology so we have more efficient vehicles. We need to look at all of our options, and that's what John McCain has put forth.
All right. Jeff, you're a good debater. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Jeff Sadowski from the McCain campaign here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from Denver, Colorado. Coming up next, Beth Robinson will join us from Military Families Speak Out. Your calls and comments welcome at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Worldwide investing through the eyes of experience for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments, gained from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. The second richest man in America, investor Warren Buffett, is addicted to bridge. He plays bridge 12 hours a week.
If I'm playing bridge and a naked woman walks by, I don't even see her. Don't test me on that.
Buffett's frequent bridge partner happens to be the richest man in America, Microsoft's Bill Gates, who made his fortune with computer software.
It'll be a long time before computers are anywhere near the top players.
So the human mind is still a whole lot better.
It's incredible. This is actually one of the last games where the computer is not better.
Gates and Buffett are trying to get America's kids interested in bridge. More on that subject after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
Most kids today are into games other than bridge. My Sunday morning colleague, John Blackstone, asked Warren Buffett,
so how are you going to convince kids with all these other diversions?
That's what we're working on. And the main thing to do is get them playing and have them play long enough so that it grabs them.
Nobody knows more about investment than Buffett, and he says bridge can teach kids a lot.
It takes some investment to play it. I mean, you cannot sit down and learn how to play it. Like
if you tell me it takes some investment, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, well, it does. You can't learn to play it in an hour or 3 hours or 4 hours.
Buffett and his partner, Bill Gates, compete in tournaments themselves, and usually they don't win. Fierce competitor though he is in business, Gates acknowledges that he's still learning.
Here I'm playing with people who are way better than I am, so I can always improve. They can always tell me what I should do differently.
And clearly, since you got knocked out, they're not intimidated by you either.
Not one iota. If anything, maybe they try even a little harder.
So even if you have all the money in the world, you don't need yachts and other luxuries to be happy. Warren Buffett.
I one time said that I wouldn't mind going to jail if I had the right three cellmates so we could play bridge all the time. In fact, I might even prefer it.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
change we can believe in. Is it just a clever campaign slogan or a clarion call to move America past the blunders of the Bush era? Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, more exclusive coverage with Peter B. Collins.
Our live coverage from Denver is brought to you in part by the Strick Law Firm. They're on the web at S-T-R-I-C-K, stricklaw.com. I want to thank Larry and the team there for their support of our live broadcasting here. And Green 962, our home base in San Francisco, which is providing a special live stream all the way through Thursday of our coverage here from Denver. Log on to green960.com wherever you happen to be, and you can share this coverage with a friend. I'd certainly appreciate it if you do. And as we mentioned, things are always subject to change here, and I'm delighted that Thomas Frank has sat down in front of our microphone. He is the author of What's the Matter with Kansas, and most recently, He Stole My Line, The Wrecking Crew, for the title of his new book. Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Peter B. Collins.
It's great to see you.
Well, it's great to see you in the flesh.
Yeah, and I'm just looking for bruises from the Colbert Report, but you look intact.
Yes, but it's, you know, out here in Denver, I'm getting a sunburn walking around the perimeter of the, you know, the giant Pepsi Center here.
Yeah. Can you get a Coke at the Pepsi Center?
You know,
there's a machine upstairs. I found one. And it's weird because we are at the Pepsi Center, and Coke is apparently a sponsor of the DNC because their logo's on the book and the goodie bag and that kind of thing. So it is a corporate sponsor clash. We also have AT&T celebrating the immunity provided to them by the Democratic Congress with a huge party, and they didn't invite me on Sunday, Tom.
What do you know about that? One more time, they didn't invite you once again.
And then Quest is... Yeah, they're on my lanyard here. And Quest is the company I have so much respect for because they refused the wiretap request when it came in February of 2001. Have you ever noted that?
This is an issue you know a lot more about than I do.
Well, the first wiretap request went to Quest and the other companies, but it was before 9/11. And when our politicians sell us this rollback in our Fourth Amendment rights, and George Miller was just sitting there sputtering 20 minutes ago because...
Yeah.
I gave the Congress a D-plus under Democratic leadership, and he didn't like that.
Well, but I'm afraid there's not much he can do about it. I mean, that's the record, right?
Well, that's what I think. And he says, well, we need more votes. And he said we couldn't do nothing. We had to do something, or the Republicans would have forced the issue with a discharge petition. And I just feel that the Democrats made a plan that they would bank everything on November this year and not really try to slow down the Bush administration in Iraq, even, you know, by reducing the funding or putting restrictions on it.
They need to be investigating constantly, is what I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, really thorough investigations. This is all this nonsense about people being able to get out of, you know, out of testifying.
Right.
And it may have to wait until the administration is gone. But this, I mean, the last 8 years need a very thorough raking over,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
And where are you on the impeachment thing? Because I think it was a serious mistake to take impeachment off the table. Your book, among others, offers a series of potential indictments of the Republican leadership right up to Bush and Cheney. And I'm not a guy who thought, oh gosh, impeachment boom will eject them from office. I want disclosure. I want accountability. And your book, The Wrecking Crew, takes us into a number of directions of the long-term plans of the Republicans, the way they use lobbyists and these phony astroturf grassroots groups to, you know, raise a lot of money for Republican operatives, but also to affect policy over the years.
Yeah, and that's what they've done. And they've affected policy not by, you know, say, getting the public behind them to roll back, you know, food safety laws or something like that, but just by letting the agencies that enforce that stuff go to hell, you know,
mm-hmm.
putting the agencies in reverse, putting incompetent people in charge, outsourcing the job. Now, the agencies that they believe in, they've done a great job with. You know, if what government is supposed to be doing is making certain really well-connected corporations wealthy, man, they've done a fantastic job at that.
Yeah, direct contracting with the people who can really benefit the most.
Yes, and their shareholders. Don't forget the shareholders, Peter B. Collins. They're,
yeah.
You know, those people have done very well in the last 8 years.
I shouldn't have sold my Halliburton stock. It was an impulsive move right after Enron went
down. You know,
down.
You joke, but I remember when the Republicans got in, and I thought, you know, maybe I should buy some defense industries. You know, maybe I should take advantage of the situation. But then
mm-hmm.
I thought, no, Frank, you're being too cynical. I really thought this really went through my mind. You're being too cynical. They would never do what you think they're going to do. And
yeah.
they did it.
You and your wife had a baby right after the 04 election, right?
That's right.
Yeah. How's he or she doing?
It's a little boy, and he's doing great. He loves Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
The problem with living in the District of Columbia is it makes it difficult for kids to understand, like, states and capitals. Like, is Chicago part of Washington? It's never clear, you know.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
And just to use that birth as a metaphor or a marker, how do you feel about how this country has declined since your son was born?
That's an awful question. I'll tell you two things, Peter B. Collins. First of all, and this is in a very purely selfish kind of way, George Bush getting reelected, you know, I voted for the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
I took my little girl into the polling place on my shoulder. She was waving an American flag, saying, "Boo George, yay John." And it was a great day, and he lost. And explaining that to a, what was she at the time, 4 years old, explaining that to a four-year-old is difficult. It's like, well, how could he lose? We liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But on the one hand, when Bush got reelected, I don't know if you're aware of this, my book became a bestseller, The What's the Matter with Kansas. And so that pleased me.
I thought it already was, so that's just my...
It had been, and then it came back.
Oh.
And that
a new lease on life, kind of like Kansas' greatest hits.
That's right. It's sort of like if you were to put together an anthology of yeah, that's exactly what it is. And so in that sense, you know, I owe a lot to George W. Bush. It's as though I had bought those military stocks, you know, back in 2001 when I first considered that.
Well, the debt's been paid, Tom.
No, but
you don't have to credit him anymore.
In every other way, it's an awful, awful, awful thing. And I worry about how I'm going to pay for, I mean, education, just to take one example, you know, you have kids, you worry about them going to college. Education is going to be a privilege of the wealthy very soon in this country.
Thomas Frank with us here on Radio Row. We got some callers on the line. Let's talk to him. Dave in Eureka, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with famous author Thomas Frank. Dave, go ahead. Dave, I can't hear you. All right, Dave, that's not working. Nick, on the Telos input, turn the little pan pot at aux 2 up just a hair. So turn it up and see if I can hear Dave. Dave, are you there? No, I'm sorry. Let's try Grant on line 2, and after that we'll give up on the phones for a moment. Let's pull up line 2 there, Nick, and see what we get. Hi, Grant. You're on the air.
All right. Hey, you know, it's a little off topic, not entirely. You were talking about Quest pushing back FISA, and I actually gave them kudos and signed up with them at one point for that. You're not averse to approaching companies. You said you were looking for sponsors. I got an idea for you.
Okay.
Credo Long Distance. The prices look pretty good, and I like what they do with their money. They put it into human rights causes, environmental voter registration, this kind of stuff.
Well, I thank you for that, Grant. And we're gonna drop the call here because we've got a lot of noise on the line. But in fact, I have talked to Credo Long Distance about possibly sponsoring our program, and they only buy really big national advertising.
Was that a stock pick recommend? Was he recommending a stock?
No, he was suggesting them as a sponsor. For our program.
I see. Okay.
We don't have any corporate sponsors, so a bunch of my listeners have contributed some money, and a lawyer I know bought some advertising, so that's how we got here to Denver.
Do you want to hear a funny story about stock picks?
Yeah.
In an earlier incarnation, I wrote a book about the stock market some years ago. It was making fun of the kind of culture of the bull market in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun to write. You know, I'd watch CNBC and tape the advertisements and make fun of the advertisements, and it was called One Market Under God. Anyhow, a number of financial magazines expressed interest in the book and wanted to do a story about it, but every time I blew it because I refused to pick stocks. I thought that was just the dumbest thing in the world. You know, it was about making fun of, you know, the sort of way these people think about the world, not about picking stocks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I blew it, Peter B. Collins.
Well,
my chance for fame.
Well, you seem to have recovered okay, Thomas Frank. Let's try Andy in New York. Andy, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Tom Frank.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Good, Andy. I can hear you well. Go right ahead.
That's good. I wish I had something better for Thomas Frank since I have him on the line, but I was listening to your George Miller conversation, and it really took me aback how defensive he was.
Just a little.
Oh, man, and he really treated you with disrespect.
Oh, I didn't take it that way. It was a good heated debate, and I've known George Miller for 15 or 20 years, so we have a good rapport. He was speaking for the speaker.
Yeah, he certainly was. He's really standing up for Pelosi. It must be... she must be the bag lady for him, I guess, or something like that.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. They have been, colleagues in Congress for a long time. And in terms of bags, Pelosi was a former chair of the California State Democratic Party, so she raised a lot of money, and some of it probably went to George Miller. He is in a safe congressional seat, so he has a leadership pack, and he raises money to give to support other Democratic candidates. And he is a true progressive guy. It's interesting to hear him say, I voted against it. I voted against every... He voted against the authorization to go into Iraq. He's voted against every funding bill for it. But you see that if you, challenge the leadership of the party, even somebody who's not on board on many of the critical issues like that will defend his colleagues and the leadership. It's an interesting function of the incumbency thing.
Yeah, I find it awful.
Tom, talk a little bit about incumbency and how that causes these critters to operate in certain ways.
Earlier you were talking about the impeachment uh-huh. question, which is whether or not they should have gone after Bush, and I don't know what the correct answer to that is, but it's interesting to me that impeachment is basically off the table because of what the Republicans did to Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Democrats don't want to get into a sort of tit for tat situation where.
Well, but if you remember, in the spring of '06, Karl Rove kind of threw out a preemptive strike. He did a direct mail piece. Maybe Vigory even mailed it for him. Vigory figures prominently in
one of my
Tom's
characters.
Book.
Yeah,
and he, that said that if you elect Democrats and they get the leadership, they'll impeach Bush and Cheney. And so, in a defensive way, in the spring of '06, Pelosi said impeachment is off the table, mm-hmm. and that was. To try to get the speakership. And I believe that once she secured that, she should have said, the people have spoken. And I listen to the people, and we'll let the process go forward. And if Chairman Conyers finds the evidence, then that's his job.
Yeah.
But instead, she kept the block up.
What you said about accountability is totally true. I mean, once you've removed that, you've taken that option off the table, you've thrown accountability to the winds. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying... I don't know what the charges would be. I don't know anything about that.
Dennis Kucinich has 35 articles.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I should look into that.
You should. Kucinich.us.
But what amuses me about all this is the way the Republicans, the Democratic establishment in Washington, we're not talking about liberals here, we're talking about the party establishment, how would you put this? It's a funny thing to say, but they're rigorously centrist.
Yeah.
The whole Clinton idea of triangulation, find out where my team is, find out where their team is, and get in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with having that as your political philosophy, apart from it being just totally empty,
right.
and it not being utterly unprincipled, the problem with having that as your philosophy is it's very easy for the right wing to game it.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is they say, oh, look, they're compromising with us whatever we do. So obviously, if we want to get our way, we just go to the extreme right, and mm-hmm. they follow us.
Yeah.
They are trying to find this happy medium, and we're going to make the happy medium much, much further to the right.
And centrists will never set the agenda. They will never set the markers for where the frames are.
That's right. And the conservatives actually do this. DeLay talks about it in his memoir. I think I'm probably the only man in this entire at this entire convention that's read Tom DeLay's memoirs.
Well, you missed the McCain guy who was here right before you.
Oh.
Hey, Andy, thank you very much for your call. And Andy also is one of our funders. Thank you for supporting us, Andy. I really appreciate that. We're going to take a break. And Tom Frank, thank you for joining me. It's great to see you in the flesh.
Peter B. Collins, the pleasure is all mine.
All right. Can we talk again? Are you available now?
I'm leaving the first thing tomorrow morning.
No. I mean in the future, over the course of the campaign. You don't have like a book in the works and need to dodge interviews.
I'm retiring. I'm writing sonnets only from now on.
Tom Frank, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Coming up next, more from Denver at the Democratic National Convention. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We're back live in Denver, 9 minutes in front of the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins. Drew Weston joins me now, the author of The Political Brain. He's one of those language and framing guys. Hello, Drew.
How are you doing?
It's great to talk to you again.
I feel framed.
Well, it's really important. Language is so important. Let me just bring up one of my recent pet peeves, the surge. The surge has worked, all right? And the corporate media, when Barack Obama did his little whirlwind tour of foreign capitals and returned, said, the surge has worked. They just assert that. They never prove it. They don't define what you know, their terminology means. And then they say, but he won't admit it. What's wrong with Barack? So how do we get out of this trap? Because Obama has a very clear answer that, you know, is too detailed. It's three paragraphs long.
Well, there's really two or three answers. One, the first one is to work the refs the way the McCain people do. You know, the McCain people did a brilliant job that whole week that he was doing. You know, he was extraordinary on the world stage, and they managed to paint it as empty celebrity, and he was too full of himself, and he was uppity, and they pulled all that off. In part, they pulled it off because there were no Obama surrogates on television. There was nobody to defend him. I think they all took their vacation before he went to Hawaii. So that was the first thing to do, is you have to work the refs. But the other two ways to approach it are first is simply to say, I'll give you the surge, Senator. Let's say you're right about that. You give me the war then, because the war, it was the wrong war to fight. We shouldn't be fighting about whether this escalation of troops, which if we escalate troops anywhere in the world, will calm that area while the troops are there. That's not the definition of working.
Yeah, but the real thing that changed is ethnic cleansing, because they've separated the warring parties neighborhood by neighborhood. The payments to the Anbar Awakening Councils that will dissolve as soon as we stop making the payments. And in fact, the troops that were inserted were not really in the areas where some pacification has occurred. And so the scoreboard simply reads American deaths, and because that number has declined, they want us to believe that the surge has worked. It's a crock.
Right. Well, the other way, of course, is to say that the biggest problem is that where we needed those troops was in Afghanistan, and that we didn't have them available in Afghanistan because we were busy surging them where we didn't belong.
Yeah.
And that's really when you talk about where the national security threat to us is, it's in Pakistan and Afghanistan. It's not in Iraq.
Right. But see, now I have another issue about mission creep, because Obama has said that he believes we should be sending more troops to Afghanistan. That may be true, but we haven't had a debate about it, and there isn't a defined mission. And Afghanistan has never been successfully occupied. I don't think that America is exceptional in that way.
No, and the reality is that that's a war that should have been won first before John McCain and anybody else ever voted for going to Iraq.
Yeah.
And I think that's the strongest place for Barack Obama to start, which is that you don't start firing in one direction when people are shooting at you in the back. That's actually exactly what Al Gore said in 2002. Everybody laughed at him. Barack Obama wasn't laughing then. At the time, it turns out he was the one with the judgment.
Yeah. Drew Weston with us. Let's talk to Mildred in Coos Bay, Oregon, listening on KBBR. Mildred, welcome to our program today.
Hi, Peter B. Well, I'm sort of in between the two people last time and the one here now. I've been reading a lot of stuff about framing, and I have been hearing that the Democratic Convention isn't going to have anybody that's going to challenge any of the Republican frames, and this is a prime time to restate things, you know, on our side and get it away from them. And I just don't understand what's going on. And this baloney about Democrats being afraid they're going to get drugged through the streets like Bill Clinton, baloney. You know, we have to take a stand.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're just going to keep lying, and it's like this. You have to stand up to a bully. That doesn't mean you have to be, you know, drop an atomic bomb on them, but you have to stand up to them. If
All right.
you lay down and play dead, you get rolled over.
Dr. Drew Weston, your comment?
I could not agree with the caller more. I mean, the way that this all needs to lay out is that someone needs to make the indictment about it isn't an accident that so many people have had their homes and their dreams foreclosed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an accident that we had secret meetings between Dick Cheney and energy companies that they fought all the way to the Supreme Court not to allow anyone to even know who is in them, and the price of gas has tripled. It's not an accident that we are at our lowest ebb in respect that America has ever been in its 200-year history. It is because of Bush and McCain and all of the Republican enablers of George W. Bush. And that's got to be the first step in this convention, mm-hmm. is to say, what's the indictment, and then what's the answer? And what we have not heard from Barack Obama's campaign is the indictment. We haven't heard. I think Bill Clinton's probably the one who's going to do that, because
yeah.
he's the best one to say, let me tell you where we left this country with a Democratic administration in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's look at where it is now.
But Mildred, I take your point, and I think I've explained to people that we're sequestered in the basement here. I don't know what's going on at the podium right now. There's a monitor that I cannot see, and there's no audio coming. So, I went into the convention hall last night when Teddy Kennedy was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what my impression was? That the delegates and the media are all extras. We are extras in the Obama infomercial. And that's what they're doing here. They have produced a very careful sequence of events. And I want to make one other point. Mildred, thanks for your call. And Drew, a lot of people are reminiscing about 4 years ago and the great speech that Barack Obama gave. But to me, the real standout speech in 2004 was delivered by Al Sharpton, the guy who went away from his approved script and criticized the Bush administration in very clear terms. And that was not supposed to happen. It was a sanitized convention, and they thought they could get away without attacking Bush and Cheney. And Bush and Cheney went to New York and did not return the favor.
Right.
So Al Sharpton is here on Radio Row, but he is not invited to speak at this convention. And honestly, I think his is a voice that should be included.
Well, God help us if if the Democrats do another sanitized convention this time, because it was the dumbest thing since the Al Gore campaign was this idea that you can run while the other side is attacking you relentlessly by never attacking back and never telling a story about who your opponent is. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that McCain has walked away with this whole idea that he's a straight talker, and this man is talking a straight talk out of both sides of his mouth, and no one's talking about it on our side. I mean, you're talking about it, I'll bet, but mm-hmm. the Obama campaign has not made the case against John McCain being the wrong man for the time, or the case for he's a great 20th century candidate for 21st century problems.
Well, and they've got to come up with a way to counter the POW card. There, he dropped it on Jay Leno last night when he was asked how many houses he and Cindy have. It's really sinister the way he is using that, and Democrats need to call him out and not just say, oh, we honor his service. No. That's a given. They need to say he's not fit, he's intemperate to be President of the United States.
Well, that's
Drew Weston, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure to see you again.
Again, his book is The Political Brain. I'm Peter B. Collins. Green 960's live coverage of the Democratic National Convention is sponsored by Strict Law Office. This is Peter B. Collins inviting you to catch the live stream this week 3 to 6 p.m. at green960.com. The Strict Law Office in San Rafael represents people like you who've been hurt through the fault of another. An auto accident, medical malpractice, workplace injury, products, drugs. Larry Strick was named a finalist as Street Fighter of the Year in 2007 by the Consumer Attorneys of California, and he's ready to fight for you. Visit his website at stricklaw.com and find out more about their services. Call toll-free 888-529-0909. That's stricklaw.com, 888-529-0909. When you're represented by the Strict Law Office, you have the confidence that one of the Bay Area's most able attorneys is representing your interests. There's no fee for initial consultation. Call 888-529-0909.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Getting ready for Hillary in Denver.
She lost, but it's Hillary's night here in Denver.
Home run. It was fair. No, it was foul. Come on, ump.
Instant replay will apply only to home run calls, whether they are fair or foul.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Harley Carnes. Waiting for number two in Denver, Democratic leaders are hoping Hillary Clinton can heal the lingering hurt and unease among her supporters. Live now to the Democratic Convention, CBS's Dan Revie.
Harley, expectations are high. One friend of the Clintons, major fundraiser Terry McAuliffe, told CBS News she'll hit it out of the park in her speech tonight, and it'll be for her former rival. Our evening news anchor Katie Couric says,
I think there will be a huge outpouring of support and, quite frankly, respect for Senator Clinton when she speaks tonight, though I think she will ultimately be very magnanimous and talk about how important it is to elect Barack Obama.
About 200 demonstrators outside the high-security convention perimeter marched with Hillary for President signs, angry at how Obama won. Some said they'll vote for Republican John McCain. CBS's Barry Vagnato found another waverer.
I'm very passionate about Senator Clinton.
Ramona Martinez proudly admits the Colorado superdelegate so far refuses to endorse Barack Obama, and she has fought hard for a full roll call vote on Clinton's nomination.
Hillary Clinton got over 18 million votes. Those votes should be heard at this convention.
I'm Peter Mayer in Denver. Party leaders insist there's no unity crisis here. The Clinton supporters, especially after the senator's speech tonight, will fall in line and support Barack Obama. Former Bill Clinton press secretary Dee Dee Myers tells CBS News,
It was a very tough fought primary, and there's some, it's an emotional letdown to lose.
And here in Denver, some diehard Clinton supporters are still in that political grieving process.
The speech by Hillary Clinton is 3.5 hours away. Meantime, senators and House members have been addressing the convention, each looking for an angle to argue that Barack Obama must be the next president with Democratic majorities in Congress. Live at the party convention in Denver, Dan Revive, CBS News.
And now this.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again. And if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step, because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2008 Honda Clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 2nd.
Sales rep to women's wear.
In the mall for hours, you're sitting with the bags, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and your wife has 12 more outfits to try on.
I should have used...
Wait, you already know you should have used Preparation H. But for extra relief, use Preparation H medicated wipes first. Unlike most ordinary wipes that just clean, Preparation H medicated wipes relieve while you clean. Then apply your Preparation H.
I think I'm going to try the other one on again.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H medicated wipes.
From Preparation H, the relief expert. Uses directed.
It's a new pitch for the game of baseball.
The decision to use instant replay will be made by the umpire... crew chief, who also will make the determination as to whether or not a call should be reversed.
That's Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig. In short, it's up to the umps whether to grant a team's request to take another look. New York Yankees play-by-play announcer John Sterling.
In a lot of ballparks, and it's almost unseen with the naked eye, you have a fence within a fence. They do it so the fans can't reach over and interfere. And so sometimes you don't know which fence the ball struck.
But the camera will know. It'll be limited at first to home run calls starting Thursday. Hurricane Gustav has smashed into Haiti. Rebecca Waddington at the Hurricane Center.
It's actually a fairly small storm, but in terms of intensity, we are forecasting it to get up to Category 3 within 72 hours.
By this weekend, Gustav may be in the Gulf of Mexico and may be extremely Katrina dangerous. Median household income in America went up. In 2007, more people have health insurance, too. David Johnson at the Census Bureau.
The number of people without health insurance coverage decreased to 45.7 million people in 2007, and the uninsured rate also fell to 15.3% in 2007.
12.5% of the people are in poverty, 37.3 million people last year. Those familiar blue U.S. mail collection boxes are slowly vanishing because people don't use them as much.
If you have a computer, you have a post office.
You can do everything you need to do from your computer. Those big blue mailboxes that get less than 24 pieces of mail a day will be taken away. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Labor Day weekend is the perfect time to paint. And during the Ace Labor Day sale, now through Monday, you'll find money-saving deals on everything you'll need to get your painting done right. Plus, some of the greatest service in the business. In fact, for 2 years in a row, Ace has been ranked highest in customer satisfaction among home improvement stores by J.D. Power & Associates. For expert help and friendly advice, get to your neighborhood Ace, the helpful place. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Here at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels, we're giving you triple choice privileges points and you don't even have to lift a finger. Well, maybe just one finger. I mean, you got to book at choicehotels.com, which involves clicking a mouse. But we promise you won't even break a sweat. So this fall, start earning free nights faster. Book your stay at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE to get triple points starting with your second stay. We'll see you there.
Reservations must be made at choicehotels.com or 800-4-CHOICE at qualifying rates. Valid 9-1 through 11-30-08. See choicehotels.com for details.
As the Democrats convene in Denver, big questions are on the table. When will our troops come home? When will we get our constitutional rights back? When will we have universal health care? Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins, looking for the answer.
We're looking for the answers up and down here at the Pepsi Center. I'm glad you're listening to our special live broadcast this week from Denver, Colorado. We're making arrangements to get a skybox with luxury facilities and some great California wine at the Invesco Field on Thursday night, but chances are we'll be lucky to get in the gate. If you'd like to join us, you're welcome to call in at any time at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we've told you, it's speed dating and a lot of confusion here at the convention. And so if you hear a guest that you want to talk to, you got to pick up the phone pronto and call in because he or she will be gone after the next break. And my current guest is the mayor of Albuquerque, New Mexico, Martin Chavez, who earned a bachelor's degree at UNM, that's University of New Mexico, and picked up his law degree at Georgetown. Mayor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you so much, and don't hold that degree against me.
Well, Georgetown's a good place. My brother went there, and I'm actually a Jesuit product myself. So
there we go.
Yeah.
How are things in Albuquerque?
You know what? We're doing well right now.
Is there a period of mourning because Governor Richardson was not named the vice presidential nominee on the ticket?
Bill Richardson's he's a friend of mine from Washington in my days at Georgetown, actually. And sure, we had our hopes up. But of course, we were looking at the number one slot, not number two.
I thought he was a very interesting candidate and presented well during the debates, was often a peacemaker when the sniping occurred. And I just felt that his experience matched the Obama call for diplomacy before bullets, and that his experience as the U.N. ambassador and Secretary of Energy would serve us well in both foreign policy and energy policy. And I thought that as a Hispanic and a guy who's run statewide in New Mexico twice now and won, could deliver a state that went red in 2004. So for me, the calculus all pointed at Richardson.
And I think he was on a short list. There's no question about it. There's no living American with his resume right now in terms of having served Congress, two different cabinet slots, Secretary of the United Nations. I've traveled around the world with Governor Richardson, and he is really well respected. And frankly, in my opinion, the United States could use some of that around the world.
And I'll just tell you a little story. I don't think I've told my listeners this, but in 2006, he came to San Francisco, and somehow I got invited to this little luncheon. There were only 10 of us, and he said, "I'm thinking of running for president." And we talked over the issues, and he was very direct and interested in honest feedback. And at the end, I said, "Governor, I'm coming to Santa Fe in a couple of weeks with my family, and can you give me some restaurant tips?" He lit up. He said, "Sure, I know the restaurants." And he wrote down a couple, and he said, "Swing by the office when you're there." So we were having a family reunion, three generations of the Collins clan, and so I called up, made arrangements with the staff, and I showed up with 11 members of my family, many too young to vote. And he welcomed us all. We came into his office, and you know what was really interesting is the staff wanted to get rid of us right away. They said, "You got 5 minutes," and he waved them off. And he said, "Look, if everybody could be quiet, I got a little business to take care of." And the governor of the state of Mexico, which is adjacent to New Mexico across the border there, and my geography is weak, maybe you know which one it is, he was calling Governor Richardson to discuss an issue. The New Mexico was short on the active ingredients for cement, and the governor was trying to import some from Mexico because a lot of it has been diverted to Iraq. And he talked to this governor for 4 or 5 minutes in flawless Spanish. Mine's very weak, but I can tell when somebody's mastered it. And it was really interesting to see him in action. I'm sure he's putting on a little bit of a show for us, but his skills there were very much demonstrated in such a casual setting, and I'll just never forget that.
Yes, he was speaking with Governor Juan Baeza, the governor of the state of Chihuahua, and Governor Richardson played a key role working with Cementos de Chihuahua to clear up all of the southern states from Florida to California, the huge shortage we had on cement, which turns into concrete, which means people are working.
Yeah, yeah. So what is the scene in New Mexico this year, and will it go Democratic?
I believe it will. New Mexico is a bellwether state. We voted right with only one exception. We have voted for the winner in our history, and that was when Jimmy Carter ran for re-election. We voted for Carter, and of course Ronald Reagan won. It's a close election. Senator Obama has been out already 3-4 times. Michelle will be in here next week. John McCain will be here next week in Albuquerque. Senator Obama was there last Monday, so they're working very hard. I think he's going to win, but it's going to have to be earned.
Yeah. Now, what about on the R side? Domenici is retiring not too soon, and Heather Wilson, who I have very mixed feelings about, is running for his seat. Is she likely to win?
She has lost her primary election.
She did?
To Congressman Steve Pierce from down south.
I missed that. When did that happen?
That happened in the primary in June.
Okay, that's a relief.
It was a relief for many of us. She is the congresswoman representing most of Albuquerque, and I always felt a little,
Well, she and Domenici both called David Iglesias in a way that is way out of bounds to try to influence him to press phony voter fraud charges right before the 2006 election.
David Iglesias' first job was as my assistant city attorney.
Really? I've got a lot of respect for
him. He's a very strong Republican, and while he appreciates the political ramifications of a prosecution, he would never be motivated by it. And so he very correctly rejected and rebuffed those calls, and I have tremendous respect for David.
Yeah, I've talked to him, and he is a stand-up guy. who really values the Constitution. And he was very honest about, yeah, I was a political appointee, but I was under this impression that once you get appointed, the politics stopped. And that wasn't the case in the politicized Justice Department of the Bush administration.
Yeah, no question about it. And Steve Pierce, I think, is going to go down to defeat. Tom Udall will defeat him in the general election. And we have,
so that's a pickup.
That will be a pickup, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And again, it's one that's a long time coming. And I have a lot of respect for Pete DiMenici. I've worked with him very closely. He was former city commissioner in Albuquerque when I was growing up. But you know, the times are different, and I think Tom Udall is going to be a great senator from New Mexico.
Mayor Marty Chavez, the mayor of Albuquerque, is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, you can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Just one more about the Republicans. Is Wilson running for re-election in her congressional seat, or did she have to give that up?
She had to give it up. We were having an interesting time. Yeah.
Did you have a farewell party?
we raised a few glasses for that. But it's interesting for New Mexico because all three of our congressional seats were up. Each one of them all ran for Senate, the Senate, or the open Senate seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be returning a complete new freshman class of House members for New Mexico. And it's a mixed blessing. We'd like to get a pickup. We think we might get a pickup for the Democrats. But at the same time, we know seniority is important. And so we've lost some seniority with Tom Udall moving from the House, hopefully, to the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are the other burning issues? New Mexico's a long-distance state, so gas prices have to be a real problem for your working families.
We're very much reflective of the nation. And right now, folks are really worried about the economy. They're worried that our quality of life is draining away with the cost of gas and foreign oil and the addiction that we have to foreign oil. So New Mexicans are worried. Our economy is starting to soften, and the light at the end of the tunnel seems a little further off than it did.
Is there increased support for drilling off the coast of New Mexico?
I think most Americans.
That's a geography.
Yeah, I know. We're an oil and gas producing state, and we like those revenues. They pay for our schools in New Mexico, but there's absolutely an awareness that it's a non-renewable, and so we're moving very, very aggressively to wind in one part of the state and then solar in the central part of New Mexico in Albuquerque.
Yeah. Any wind action there?
We got
is Key Boone Pickens moving in?
With this time of year, lots of high wind. and, of course, we're the international place for ballooning, so it's all that hot air. No, actually, we really are very serious about this. We've got wind farms in the east part of the state. We have two solar panel manufacturers in Albuquerque. Schott Solar, which is one of the largest in the world, out of Germany, is now under construction, and they'll be manufacturing by the end of the year. So we're putting a lot of our eggs in the alternative energy basket, which I think is what America ought to be doing.
And what's the signature of your administration?
Well, it's actually the new technologies. We have worked really, really hard to convert our economy to take these green collar jobs and make them a reality. Today, we boast the second highest number of PhDs per capita of any city in America. We have a national laboratory. Intel has the largest computer chip manufacturing plant in the world. We have Eclipse Aviation. We are just bursting at the seams with these new entrepreneurs in the alternative energy field and the new technology field. And I couldn't be prouder of that. That means that my kids have a great future.
Yeah. Well, Mayor Chavez, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to meet you. I love your city. I always have a great time when I visit New Mexico.
Well, then let me chide you. You went to Santa Fe. You had to go through Albuquerque, and you didn't call me. So next time, I'm expecting a call.
Can I bring my mom and the nieces and nephews?
You bring the whole family. Bring the in-laws, and dinner's on me.
Oh, wow. That's an upgrade. Richardson didn't offer that.
He turned out I'm not.
Really nice to meet you. Hey, and who gets his jet? The state bought a jet for Bill to run for president.
Yeah, well, I guess the next governor will get that jet, and we'll see who that is.
Really nice to see you. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break and return here. We're live at the Democratic National Convention along Radio Row, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
Have you noticed that everyone is talking about being green? High-efficiency light bulbs, recycling, sustainable products that are healthy for us and crucial to our environment. Well, check out the new furniture store in town that is totally green. The name is SC41 Furniture, and it's our grand opening. Our mattress systems are designed to feel better, last longer, and sleep deeper. They're made from naturally ecologically healthy components, like high-quality latex that holds its shape and provides extra support. SC41 also offers sustainable furniture that is made in the old-world craftsman style with no harmful chemicals, non-toxic stains, solid wood construction, and formaldehyde-free glues. Sustainable style for the rest of your life. So if you want to better the environment and live healthier without compromising comfort, quality, or beauty, come visit the new store in town, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start things off in Salinas, 183 at McFadden Road. Several sheets of cardboard in the roadway. Cars swerving to avoid all that as they go by. Interlaken, Santa Cruz County, Carlton Road near 152. An injury crash. Two cars may be blocking the roadway. Emergency crews are still headed out to the scene. Heads up in Marina, northbound Highway 1 before Reservation Road. A piece of wood that's partially sticking into the left-hand lane. And for the Pacheco Pass, this has been out there for well over an hour now. Eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway. It's a broken down big rig that's still partially blocking the right hand lane, waiting for a big rig tow truck to arrive. This is brought to you by Advil PM. Advil PM, tonight spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep when you switch from Tylenol PM to new Advil PM. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's 21 minutes after the hour, live from Denver at the Democratic National Convention along Radio Row. This is Peter B. Collins. It's great to have you with us. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Tonight is the night that Hillary Clinton will speak. And a lot of people are curious about how this will play out, if this will actually, you know, ease the transition for her supporters to the Obama nomination, or if it's going to actually, you know, build a kind of counterswell. I read a piece yesterday, I think it was Ari Melber from The Nation, I think it was David Sirota, now that I think further, who commented that this convention should be all about Obama, and it's a little too much about the Clintons. And we're going to see how that plays out with Senator Clinton speaking tonight and President Clinton tomorrow night, and I think that's a very interesting issue we'll be observing. Congressman Gerald Nadler, great Democrat from New York, joins us now here at Radio Row. Congressman, welcome.
good to be here.
I was just talking about the interesting sense here that this is the Obama convention, and yet the Clintons have two nights. Hillary will speak tonight, and the former president tomorrow night. And I think it was David Sirota who wrote a piece who said this is a little bit much, that you know, a convention like this should be about the nominee. And in particular, what I want to see is a bounce for Obama coming out of this convention now that the polls have tightened. What's your thought about that? He's thinking.
Well, I don't think that's contradictory. Of course, we want to see a bounce, but a bounce is ephemeral. You want to see something more fundamental. It seems to me there are two jobs for the convention. One, and which hopefully was accomplished last night, and that was the purpose of last night, was to introduce Obama to a large segment of the American electorate that is not sure who he is, that is not sure that he shares their values, that is not sure that he empathizes with their problems, to show that he's an American guy who comes from a lower middle class family, ditto for his wife, that they've been through these problems, that he's been through the problems that he's had to, you know, balance the bills and raise kids, and that he understands their problems, empathizes with them, and can be relied upon.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, the other main purpose of the convention, I think, is to say, okay, you know that the country is bad off. You know the country is going in the wrong direction. 80% of the American people, according to the polls, think the country is going in the wrong direction. You know you're not as well off as you were. You know it's harder to make ends meet. Your paycheck has not gone up as fast as the cost of everything you have to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know your friends are facing foreclosure on their house. You know your other friend got laid off from the job. You know all these problems. You know you don't want the country to keep going this direction. It's the Bush policies that have done this. McCain is exactly the same as the Bush policies. You can't vote for McCain. You got to vote for Obama because our economic policies, stopping the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy, putting that money into health care for all, putting that money into stopping the war in Iraq, putting that money as well into health care for all, into rebuilding our roads and bridges and highways, putting people to work doing that, greening our country, making it energy efficient. All these things generate jobs. All these things generate economic activity. That's what we ought to be doing instead of it all going to the rich.
Yeah.
And that's how we'll make sure that you have a job, that the future is brighter, your kid can afford to go to college, etc. You got to make people understand, because they know now that the country, the direction of the country is terrible. The Bush policies have failed. We've had 30 years with an interregnum for a few years in the 90s, but 30 years of conservative policies, which have sent us to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. Congressman Nadler,
you've got to show that basically people, the message should be, ultimately, that if you vote for McCain, if you don't vote for Obama, you're much more likely to lose your job and your home.
Mm-hmm. You've been on the front lines of the fights in trying to preserve our civil liberties, preserve
yes.
the Constitution. I'm really troubled by the recent moves of New Yorker Michael Mukasey, the Attorney General, to expand further the court-free efforts. What, you know, these are no-knock warrants, national security letters. We've already seen from the Inspector General that the national security letters have been widely abused, and yet the Attorney General is asking for more authority to investigate and interrogate people without basic constitutional protection.
Attorney General, I'm glad you mentioned the national security letters, because I introduced the legislation on national security letters 3 years ago, but which we actually reported out of the subcommittee a couple months ago. No, the Attorney General is totally insensitive. There were some hopes that he'd be more sensitive to civil liberties than Gonzalez. He's certainly a more honest man generally, but he's shown no sensitivity and to any kind of civil liberties, and no preparedness to do anything to undo any of the very bad policies they have followed. I mean, he is not, for example, he's not willing to do. Well, we showed the illegal hirings on political grounds of all the civil service people, immigration judges.
The Monica Goodling testimony.
Mm-hmm. And the Inspector General comes out with a damning report on it. He gets up and he says, "Yeah, it's too bad. Shouldn't happen. Shouldn't have happened. Won't happen again." But are you going to do anything about it? No. Are you going to prosecute anybody who broke the law? No. Are you going to take the people who are illegally hired, fire them, and then let them apply along with everybody else to a fair hiring process? I mean, some of them may be conservative, but, you know, fine.
Qualified, yeah.
But qualified.
Uh-huh.
But you can't allow people who are hired because of political bias to be burrowed into the civil service for the next couple of generations. Will he do anything about that? No.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying. He comes out and he demands that we pass legislation. I was lambasted in the conservative press because I was asked what chance there was that we would pass the legislation he was recommending, and I said zero,
mm-hmm.
That it would get any consideration. He wants us to pass legislation to undo the Supreme Court decisions on Guantanamo and on habeas corpus.
And he's working with Fred Fielding to stonewall the subpoenas for Roe,
yes.
For Myers,
absolutely.
And Sebald.
Absolutely. One of the things we're going to have to do in an Obama administration is to do a lot of things, pass legislation to undo a lot of the depredations of civil liberties that were done here and to put in institutional safeguards against their repeat in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working to identify those kinds of things. For instance, we reported a bill to rein in the state secrets doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should do a constitutional amendment to rein in the president's pardon power.
And I think you should call Sybil Edmonds to testify. I would really like to see that. Congressman Nadler, thank you very much for joining us here on
You're
the PBC
welcome.
Collins Show. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you.
We'll return to Denver in just a moment here on the PBC Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Michelle Obama does not play fair. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network, this week from Denver. Party conventions are tough crowds, and when you're camped way up in the press box of the Pepsi Center, and I mean way up there where they hang the Pope's hats, you can tell when the audience is paying attention. Most of the time, they drown out the PA system up there. But Caroline Kennedy, everybody was quiet. Ted Kennedy, crowd erupts, of course, when he comes out, then quiet. And Michelle Obama, so quiet I could hear a cell phone ringing five stories down. Everybody knew what her job was, to be normal, to be Jacqueline Kennedy in off-the-rack clothes. So we heard about her blue-collar dad and stay-at-home mom, how her favorite show was the Brady Bunch, some respect for Hillary, a Joe Biden mention, some love of country, how dedicated Barack is to all the right things, and then she played the father-daughter card.
Determined to give her something he never had, the affirming embrace of a father's love.
Yeah. And then the tucking the children in at night card.
As I tuck that little girl in and her little sister into bed at night.
And then the children themselves come out on stage. And they are so cute, and we know how much their dad loves them. And the dads in the crowd, who are all away from home, wonder if they've ever loved their children that much. And then on the video screen, there's Barack calling in to talk to the kids.
Daddy, what city are you in?
It's like one of those cell phone ads where the dad is on the business trip and he reads the kids a story from his room at the Motel 6. How are we supposed to stay objective? I thought this was supposed to be a clean fight. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
The Democrats are hoping for big victories in November, winning the White House and expanding the majorities in Congress. Will the progressive views and voices that jump-started these campaigns have a vital role in Democratic rule? That's Peter B's goal. Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins.
And our pronouncer, John Scott, just put it right. Will the progressive views and voices that brought Barack Obama to the point of the nomination still be heard during the campaign and during an Obama administration? That's an important challenge we're dealing with. And the Progressive Democrats of America are up to it. They've got Progressive Central here in Denver. It's an interesting alternative to the corporate conference here of the Democratic National Convention. And Mimi Kennedy is chair of PDA, their website, pdamerica.org. Welcome, Mimi.
It's great to be here, Peter.
Well, I want to tell you what a thrill it was to be at Progressive Central. I spent 2.5 hours there earlier today, and you've got great panel discussions going on with some really solid progressives. Our friend John Nichols may join us here in a minute, but he chaired a meeting with Jim McDermott, the very progressive Democrat from Seattle, the guy who went to Baghdad to try to stop the war in early 2003, and also my friend Tom Hayden was there talking about political organizing, and it was so fascinating. There was a heckler in the crowd who was upset because he felt the discussion wasn't progressive enough. And he had a point, you know, about the war and about, you know, corporate political parties. But it was fascinating to see how they dealt with that and really included it in the conversation. And very clearly, Tom Hayden said, look, we got 70 days. We got to get Obama elected because he's so much preferable to John McCain. And after that, our work really begins. Mimi, is that your thought, too?
Yeah, he made a great point. Tom said, look, I'm in L.A. now. He's done a lot. He worked with the Northern Irish to try to settle that dispute. He's done a lot of dispute resolution all over the world. And he said, right now I'm working with Latino immigrants. I'm working with unions. I'm working with people of color. I'm working with prisoners. And to them, there's a big difference between McCain and Obama, because what's happened since the Bush administration got into them has been devastating. So 70 days, to some people, it makes a big difference. And he said the anti-war movement is often accused of being too white, you know, too much inside the bubble. He said, we need a national movement, a huge coalition. And if you want to mess up the election of Barack Obama because it's not pure enough and we have 70 days and you want to fight this fight right now, he said, you can do it, but you're not going to have a mass movement. The guy was saying we should take to the streets. We need a big movement in the streets. And, of course, you know, I must say that there's always a heckler like that. 4 years ago, PDA, there's always somebody saying you're not radical enough and there's no difference between the parties. And it's so interesting when they show up at the convention, because bless them, you know, there's strategy. There's trying to get the win of world peace and justice, and this ain't the time. And if you want to go to the streets, it's not going to be a mass movement. It's going to be 300 angry people, and you can do that, but the real movement is happening at the ballot box and at protecting the ballot box.
And Mimi, the real challenge is to get Democrats elected, not just into the White House, but Senate and Congress too, and make them more progressive.
Indeed.
Because by trying to go, you know, too far to the fringe, we lose momentum and we're not taken as credible inside players.
Well,
and we really need to remain at the table and push Obama and the others who get elected this fall to the real progressive positions of national single-payer health care. That's my top priority.
That's right. And I will say, Obama is really smart. I think the voters know this. And one of the other things is we don't have the ballot box. They've done two elections with a PR campaign campaign about why people aren't voting for the Democrat. It's always some reason that they're not voting for the Democrat at the last minute, and then, oops, there's an election that flips after midnight as a big surprise to everybody.
You mean you don't trust the electoral process?
Well, you know, I want everybody to come out and vote because a landslide can really help stop that from happening, and so can being a poll worker in your election protection, educating yourself. But I think Obama knows that one of the things that we as Democrats want to do is show the American people an election where that character assassination thing and that smear campaign and that last-minute surprise, nobody's going to believe it as a last-minute excuse to flip a vote. We're going to win it. We're going to win it fair and square. Even though they have wired us for fraud capacity, we're going to police it. We're going to win it fair and square. But that's why this campaign might not look like some people think that it should look. And it's not we're doing anything stealthily. But the fact is, we're in a hole. Our democracy has really been almost lost. And we're squeaking through. And we have a great candidate and a smart man. And the world is going to be happy that he's the leader of the United States of America. He's going to do good things for our people, for our security, for our moral standing. But so when people talk about the campaign isn't progressive enough, you know, 70 days, people. We got to elect this guy, and we have to do it with a challenging environment where they would love to say, oops, stumble at the last minute, and all of a sudden, at, you know, 12 minutes to poll closing, mm-hmm. you know, a whole bunch of the electorate who are furious came out and voted for McCain.
Mimi Kennedy with us from Progressive Democrats for America. And Mimi, one of the things that I mentioned on the show last week when these poll numbers came out showing that the race has tightened into a tie, that I'm actually on at least one level relieved to see that. Because
yeah.
if we had come into this convention with Obama 10 points up, the progressives would be even more expendable. And
yeah.
I believe that we need to remind Senator Obama yeah. and the Democratic Party that the progressives really came out and coalesced during the primaries.
That's right.
They helped turn out new voters
you
and register
so.
New people.
And swing voters.
Yeah.
Swing voters are very progressive, oddly enough. Hardly anybody believes it. I'll tell you what else, by the way. Speaking
mm-hmm.
of polls,
yeah.
Did you know that it's illegal for these pollsters to call a cell phone? Because I believe it's because it incurs expense to the recipient. Somebody made it illegal. Do you know that between ages of 18 and 29, in other words, everybody under 30 in the United
sure.
States, only 40% of them have a landline?
Right.
So when you hear the polls, I like what you said, and
mm-hmm.
maybe what I'm saying is blowing what you said, but I think we should all remind ourselves that there's a big vote out there that has cell phones.
Yeah. John Nichols has just slid over
hey.
Here for another position in Radio Row. Hey, John.
How are you, brother? I was literally just sitting with Jerry Nadler
mm-hmm.
talking about legislation to prevent presidential abuses of pardons.
Yeah.
It's kind of Radio Row is a very interesting little world we have here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to Congressman Nadler about the abuse of national security letters and the need.
Going on about that right now, too. I mean, this is a very healthy thing
mm-hmm.
because while conventions have many, many flaws, one of the few good things about them is that they do kind of bring the politicians out from behind the closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And Mimi and I have been entertaining quite a few of them over at Progressive Central.
Yeah, John Conyers has been stopping by every
John,
day.
John, we can't get rid of the guy. It's become a bit of a challenge now.
He had a sandwich yesterday. I was talking to him. He's having a ball.
He's a regular at Progressive Central, and we love him. He's been such a good player. But we've also, I thought a pretty darn near magic discussion this morning with Tom Hayden and Jim McDermott.
Yeah, I was
inside,
there.
Outside, and
mm-hmm.
and it was a good enough discussion. I always think a good discussion was just a few people yelling from the crowd. We
yeah.
had some of that, and I really liked it. I felt good about what we engaged in there,
mm-hmm.
and I believe one of the things we're doing is taking a little bit of Radio Row out into the city of Denver and putting people together to talk with members of Congress and activists.
The discussion you did with Congressman McDermott and Tom Hayden, a former state senator,
yeah.
was really interesting to me, and McDermott told a story that I interviewed him later, and when there's a chance, I'll play it for my listeners. But it has to do with the Iraqi foreign minister, who shows up in Ron Suskind's new book, who told us and told the congressman in September of 2002 that there were no weapons of mass destruction. So this is very clearly established now that Bush went to war with the full knowledge that his evidence wasn't just thin, wasn't just single-sourced, but was not true. And this leads to something you're an expert on.
And you were there. I, in fact, did ask him, because I never would let the let us go without noting that. I said, you know, doesn't that sounds a little to me like an impeachable offense. And to his immense credit, because Jim McDermott is one of those truth speakers in Congress, and that's it's almost an unimaginable concept.
Yeah.
But he said, yes, absolutely, you're right. Mm-hmm. In fact, when someone yelled war crimes from the crowd, he did not reject that concept either, did he? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, look, there's only a handful of people in Congress that are willing to speak that truth to power. And McDermott, I thought the most important thing McDermott mentioned to folks, I've known it for a while, is that there are only three members of Congress that refuse to attend secret briefing sessions with the administration because they think they're going to be lied to, and also they become a part of the lie.
And those three were McDermott, my favorite atheist, Pete Stark, and Dennis Kucinich.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Now, John, I got one more question for you. What was it? I lost it just in that exchange there. Mimi, let me turn to you for a moment and ask you to tell people what's going on at Progressive Central and how they can log on to your website, even from California or Oregon, and participate in your kind of alternative convention.
I can say before she tells you all the really groovy stuff, that we have thousands of people that are, in fact, logging on.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Progressive Democrats of America site, going to the Nation site, and, you know, I'm going to let Mimi tell you about this, but I want to tell you an inside secret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we started talking about this, we were real worried. Because we know how conventions work. We know how hard it is to get people places. We know the competition. You know, what you're up against.
Mm-hmm.
We're not offering, you know, like Hootie and the Blowfish, right? We are offering members of Congress speaking seriously about big issues.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, you know, if you build it, they will come. We today, the McDermott-Hayden session was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Mimi moderated a session in the afternoon on election protection.
Right.
That was packed.
I just gave Gerald Nadler one of these cards. We were passing out cards asking people
all
to stand
I'm
for
is,
voters.
This is one of the most reassuring things I have seen in a very long time, that we bet on seriousness and depth and really go into a much deeper spot than our politics ever does. And they came.
So, Mimi, give us three or four examples of things coming up in the next day or two.
Tomorrow we're doing economic justice and global warming all day, and John is moderating a panel with Representative Jim McGovern. He's from Massachusetts. He was the first guy who ever carried a bill about defunding the war. Tom Hayden on our board suggested that we try to get somebody to defund the war. This was about 2.5 years ago. Jim McGovern carried that bill. Of course, it didn't pass, but we organized around it and got a lot of people to sign a petition. Bob Moser, who is a contributing writer to The Nation, is going to be there. Global warming.
And he's an expert on the South, too, right, Bob Moser? I think that's his...
Wait a minute. What? I'm sorry.
I think Bob Moser is an expert on politics of the South. And
actually, I was looking at this. Immigration reform is in there, too, and economic justice. That's why it's McGovern and Moser.
Uh-huh.
And it is economic justice and ending poverty at 1 o'clock. John's moderating that with Representative Barbara Lee, also on PDA's board. Jim McGovern is with us again for that. David Sirota,
he's
brilliant
terrific
guy. I know you've had him on.
Mm-hmm.
Lori Wallach, Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. Carmen Rhodes, she's the executive director of Front Range Economic Strategy Center. So those folks are going to be talking about economic justice and ending poverty, of course, tied to the war. And then at 2:30, John, again, he's moderating all day tomorrow. Medea Benjamin, this is about global warming, and Medea's on it because as a member of Global Exchange, she for so long she worked for the UN early, now she's Code Pink. She's seen the devastation, and she knows the communities, especially those coastal areas, developing countries.
Well, and her husband, Kevin Danaher, is a real visionary on the new green economy, and
That's right.
I'm really impressed. impressed with him. He was on our show about a month ago.
Majora Carter, Sustainable South Bronx. She's going to be there tomorrow. And Dr. Kevin Trenberth, he is an IPCC scientist from here in Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be tying together the economic injustice of what's going on with our imperial economy that mm-hmm. insists on burning oil and devastating these coastal areas, devastating through tornadoes and the global weather patterns. We're tying that together. And then on Thursday, constitutional law, we have Vincent Fugliosi coming.
Yeah.
We have Leslie Kagan, UFPJ. We have Robert Wexler going to talk about impeachment. We've mm-hmm. got Keith Ellison, Victor Novasky of The Nation. We got Steve Cobble. He's on our board. We have, at the end, Onward from Denver. What are the progressives going to do? We have Bill Gould. He's mm-hmm. with the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He's the executive director there, the legislative guy, and he's going to tell us how we can work with Congress to mm-hmm. move forward through the next 3 months, even during this election, and then, of course, an Obama administration. How does that Congressional Progressive Caucus help Obama be the great president? Bold moves. We don't have a lot of time to waste
mm-hmm.
once he gets there. The world is going to help us do the right thing, but we Americans have to wake up and find legislative ways to do it, organized ways to do it, and Progressive Democrats of America wants to help, and so does the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
Well,
they're relieved we're here.
I appreciate the work you're doing on all these fronts, and I want to thank you for setting up Progressive Central. And if some of my really wealthy listeners there in Pebble Beach would like to help support the Progressive Democrats of America, how can they do it?
Well, you can go to our website at PD America, all together as one word, pdamerica.org, and just give us your name and your address and your email. You'll start to find out how to self-organize. Be with us. We'd love your $5 or $10 sustainers a month. We really need that because we're doing this on fumes,
mm-hmm.
but we've moved mountains on fumes, the mouse
sure
reward.
Have.
So come and join us nationwide. There will be a chapter in your area. You can do what you want. You can self-organize. You can help us. You can move your Congress member. You can move the Democratic Party in your area. You can be a leader. It's really exciting out there, as bleak and dark as it's been. This is the historic moment where you get to join history and bend that arc of history towards justice.
Mimi Kennedy, thank you very much. Great to see you. Progressive Democrats of America, pdamerica.org. Live from Denver at Radio Row. It's getting busy here. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start things off in Salinas, 183 at McFadden Road. Several sheets of cardboard in the roadway. Cars swerving to avoid all that as they go by. Interlaken, Santa Cruz County, Carlton Road near 152. An injury crash. Two cars may be blocking the roadway. Emergency crews are still headed out to the scene. Heads up in Marina, northbound Highway 1 before Reservation Road. A piece of wood that's partially sticking into the left-hand lane. And for the Pacheco Pass, this has been out there for well over an hour now. Eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway. It's a broken down big rig that's still partially blocking the right-hand lane, waiting for a big rig tow truck to arrive. This is brought to you by Advil PM. Advil PM, tonight spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep when you switch from Tylenol PM to new Advil PM. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Miramax, what's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
It's 8 minutes in front of the hour, live from Denver at the Democratic National Convention. I'm Peter B. Collins, and joining me here is Vincent Bugliosi, the former prosecutor from Los Angeles who put Charles Manson and, I believe, 104 other guilty criminals behind bars. He's also the author of The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. Vincent Bugliosi, welcome.
Well, happy to be back on the show, Peter. As you know, you're the first radio host in the category of progressive radio who had me on.
Yeah.
And you also helped give me a list, not me personally, but my publicist, a list of other progressive radio stations around the country. And it's because of you and progressive radio that The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder is a New York Times bestseller.
And you broke through. There was coverage in the New York Times, finally. Did you get on the Today Show, finally?
Oh, no. But what the New York Times did, and I commend them for that, because they're at the pinnacle of the mainstream media. They wrote an article about the fact that the book was being blacked out by the rest of the media. So
yeah,
it was not an article about my book per se. It was not a review. I haven't been reviewed in the New York Times. I'm almost always reviewed in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. All of my books are reviewed throughout the country. This is the first book that I've ever written has not been reviewed by any major newspaper in the country. But before the New York Times article, I was totally and completely blacked out by the major media, no network, TV, no cable, no review of my book. It got so bad that ABC Radio literally refused to take money from my publisher to take out a radio spot on ABC Radio. And what does that say about America? You know, we're supposed to be the land of the free, home of the brave.
Now, don't pull any punches. You're here at the Democratic Convention.
Right.
How have Democratic leaders responded to your book and your full accountability of Bush's crimes?
The same way. The Democratic Party is not supporting me at all. The progressive wing of the Democratic Party has, but not the Democratic Party. The Nancy Pelosi's of the world, absolutely not. In fact,
what are they afraid of?
Before going further, I wrote a letter to Nancy Pelosi while I was doing the book. I needed certain information, and I got it anyway. She didn't even respond to me. What are they afraid of? I can't be 100% sure, but I can tell you my belief. It's all traceable to the right wing in America. I think they've terrorized this country. As I say in the acknowledgement, when you have a very decent, honorable man like Mario Cuomo being sufficiently intimidated to say, I respect Rush Limbaugh, if I may be so presumptuous, Mario Cuomo does not respect Rush Limbaugh. How would that even be humanly possible? But that's just one example among hundreds and hundreds of the shadow of fear that has descended upon this country because of the right wing. These are not good people. They're not nice people. We've always had them in America, but they used to be on the fringes of the Republican Party. They used to be an embarrassment to the Eisenhowers and the Nixons and the Fords of the world. Now they've taken over the party. They're mean-spirited, anti-American, and they're not patriotic, repugnant, every negative adjective you can think about. They are they. But they've frightened this country.
So
the liberal-leading media, they don't want me on because they don't want to be savaged by the right.
Now, coming back to Pelosi for a moment, why do you think that she went on The View television show as recently as a month ago and said, well, she couldn't support impeachment because she doesn't think Bush has committed a crime?
Well, I think she said there's no evidence of it, and apparently when she was speaking somewhere, some lady in the audience held up my book and another book and said, have you read these two books?
Yeah.
And they removed her from the audience. Why is she doing this? Well, it goes back, I think. It's the bully in the playground. People yield to fear. They cater to fear. They try to cater to those who cause the fear. You asked me the question. I can only tell you I think it's all about fear.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be accepted by the right wing, that we're a, quote, good Democrat. Don't be harsh on us. These are bad people. I have nothing but contempt for them. And let me give you something which, to me, is not an opinion. It's a fact. I guess it comes across as an opinion, but it's a fact. Because George Bush is a conservative Republican, and so are they, anything he does, anything at all, including murder, is just fine with these people. I think it's all traceable to fear. What other reason would they have for not reviewing my book? I mean, I've had three books got up to number one in the New York Times hardcover bestseller list just a couple months ago for a record-breaking third time. I won the Edgar Allan Poe Award for best true crime book of the year for my book on the Kennedy assassination. So why not have a review of my book or have me on radio or TV, like for all my other books?
Yeah.
But because I'm talking about going after George Bush for murder, all of a sudden they want to protect him. I'm not saying there's any conspiracy against me. It's just that every member of the mainstream media agrees they don't even want to talk about it.
Now, just 1 minute remaining here, and Vincent Bugliosi, how do you think an Obama administration will deal with the crimes of the Bush administration?
Well, fortunately, Obama has said that he's going to ask his attorney general to immediately review the record of the Bush administration. And if there's evidence, genuine evidence of a crime as opposed to just bad policy, he didn't say what he was going to do, but he did say that no man is above the law. The implication being is that he would have his attorney general prosecute Bush and or other members of his administration for any crimes committed. That's a very good sign. I'm looking for a prosecutor now in America to prosecute George Bush. On a federal level, it would be the attorney general. Hopefully that will happen. But if it doesn't, let me tell you this. There's 50 state attorney generals and 2,700 district attorneys and counties within the states, and hopefully I'm going to find one to go after this guy, George Bush, and bring about justice for the American people.
Vincent Bugliosi, a pleasure to see you. Thank you very much for being tireless in fighting for our constitutional rights.
I appreciate it so much, Peter.
We'll take a break and return here live from Denver at the Democratic National Convention. We're on Radio Row, and you never know who's going to join us next. We'll find out after a news break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Share a podcast with any portion of our coverage with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Live streaming the rest of the week at green960.com. Hi, it's Peter B. Urging you to check out a new website, mendingamerica.com, dedicated to mending the damage done to our American fabric by 8 years of George W. Bush. It looks like another t-shirt site, and it is. But look deeper. Read the stories represented in the t-shirts. Hear the message of hope that our fabric can be restored, and we can once more take pride in America. Mending America believes the mending must start with the American people. We must reconnect with the values and the courage that founded this country. Join in by clicking the words opening question at the top of the homepage and email your thoughts. Support this effort by buying the t-shirts and bumper stickers. Better yet, buy the note cards and send the word to Congress, the media, and your friends. America is on the mend, and a bright future lies before us. Use the promo code Peter B in lowercase at mendingamerica.com and get a 15% discount. That's mendingamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Howard Arenstein, live at the Democratic National Convention in Denver. Delegates just heard a rousing speech here from Ed Rendell, governor of the Keystone State.
Now, if we can do it in Pennsylvania, we can do it in Ohio, we can do it in Florida, we can do it in every state in the union, we can, and with Barack Obama and Joe Biden in the White House, we will.
Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski just spoke, too, along with all the other women Democrats in the Senate. She was introduced on video by Hillary Clinton.
You know how we women are. We make our to-do list. We check off our accomplishments.
We get things done.
Senator Clinton has to get something very important done tonight in a primetime speech.
I'm very passionate about Senator Clinton.
Ramona Martinez proudly admits the Colorado superdelegate so far refuses to endorse Barack Obama, and she has fought hard for a full roll call vote on Clinton's nomination.
Hillary Clinton got over 18 million votes. Those votes should be heard at this convention.
A unity call from Clinton in tonight's speech is critical, she says, to win over delegates who still don't want to let go. Barry Bagnato, CBS News at the Democratic National Convention, Denver.
Some Democrats are also hoping that tonight's speakers go on the offensive against John McCain, who is still running even with Barack Obama in some national polls. I'm Howard Arenstein, live in Denver. More news now from Harley Carnes.
Instant replay comes to baseball. Scott Miller at CBS Sportsline.
Instant replay will not be balls and strikes. It won't be a guy slid into home plate. Was he safe or out? Those calls by the umpires will stand. This is boundary calls, as they call them, home run calls.
When a manager asks for a replay, it's the umpire crew chief's call. Southwest Airlines is cutting back, reducing the number of flights by 196 across its system.
We're still very much looking for opportunities to grow. What we have been saying, though, like all the airlines over the last several years, is the price of fuel is so high we're having to make new decisions.
That's Beth Harbin at Southwest. Real estate experts are saying there are glimmers of hope the housing crunch may be bottoming out or close to it. Diane Swank at Mesereau Financial.
Builders have been offering extremely good deals out there, and those deals are starting to pay off. That's a very sort of thin silver lining in what is still a very dark cloud.
The backlog of new homes is down, and the home price slide has started to ease up. In some cities, prices have started back up. Mattel wins $100 million from MGA, the maker of the Bratz dolls, because the man who designed Bratz did it while he still worked for Mattel on Barbie. The jury did not turn over the business to Mattel, however, so the billion-dollar Bratz empire will continue. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 27 points. NASDAQ was off almost 4. Oil prices up on news of Hurricane Gustav to 116 plus a barrel. This is CBS News.
Despite the current economy, you can still drive a safe, luxurious, well-engineered car. Because right now, Mercedes-Benz is having a certified pre-owned sales event with deals as low as 1.99% APR on select CPO vehicles that have undergone a rigorous 155-point inspection. So you know you're getting a true 100% Mercedes-Benz at a price you can afford. See your authorized dealer today for certified affordability. But hurry, our CPO sales event ends soon. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 financed on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Most Americans are making more money these days, but the percentage of people in poverty remains the same.
America's midpoint or median income inched up last year to just over $50,000, but the number of people living in poverty also increased, something that heavily impacts minority children.
We have a very large disparity in this country that needs to be addressed.
Susan Gates of the Children's Defense Fund.
3.9 million black children are living in poverty now. That's one in three. 4.5 million Hispanic children, which is one in four.
Among white children, 4.3 million live in poverty. That's about one in ten. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
People at the church in Ocala, Florida say Frankie Lewis was in a foul frame of mind, and when he couldn't get any more butter in the church buffet line, he whipped out a knife and threatened to cut someone, which is when someone else in the congregation gave him a whack with a length of 2x4. So he left on a bicycle, and police caught up with him down the roadways. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again. And if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step, because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 2nd.
Sales rep to women's wear.
In the mall for hours, you're sitting with the bags, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and your wife has 12 more outfits to try on.
I should have used...
Wait, you already know you should have used Preparation H. But for extra relief, use Preparation H medicated wipes first. Unlike most ordinary wipes that just clean, Preparation H medicated wipes relieve while you clean. Then apply your Preparation H.
I think I'm going to try the other one on again.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H medicated wipes.
From Preparation H, the relief expert. Use as directed.
Just a year ago, nine Democrats were fighting for the presidential nomination. We've reached the finale. Now live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins.
Our live coverage of the Democratic National Convention continues from Radio Row. This is your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We've got a special live stream set up that can handle huge capacities at green960.com. So let your friends anywhere in the world, let them know that there's special coverage here on the PBC show. And you're getting different spin. You probably have noticed that. We're not sitting here just kind of following the party line and trying to promote simple party unity. We're trying to ask some of the tough questions about where the Democrats are headed and to what extent progressive views and voices will remain a part of this party moving forward into the November elections. I want to thank our sponsors, listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show who contributed, and it's there's still time for you to do so if you'd like to help us defray our costs here of covering the trip to Denver and the technical costs and all that sort of thing. There's a link on my homepage called You Can Help at peterbcollins.com, and my mailing address is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. And let me just mention one other thing. That Katrina Rill, my incredible producer, has traveled here to Denver with me and currently is scrambling around because Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland was scheduled to be here at this time, and he isn't here at this moment. So if she finds him, we'll put him on in the next few minutes. And I want you to hear a conversation that I recorded with Greg Pallast earlier today. Well, I'm going to hold off on that because Katrina has returned with the Secretary of State of Ohio, Jennifer Bruner, and we're going to get her into the seat and get a microphone in front of her in just a second. And as you know from our regular weekly broadcast on Fridays, we cover a lot of issues related to the election process and election integrity matters. Jennifer Bruner was elected Secretary of State to replace Ken Blackwell, who, of course, was a co-chair of the Bush-Cheney Reelection Committee in Ohio in 2004, and a man who we don't have a lot of respect for in terms of how to conduct elections. Jennifer Bruner, welcome to our program. I'm delighted to meet you.
Thank you, Peter. Great to meet you, too.
And we were trading notes a little bit earlier. I grew up in Ohio, and I left Cincinnati because it's a Republican machine town, and it has that beastly humidity.
Well, that's sort of most of Ohio with the humidity.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being here and commend you on the work that you've been doing, because you're batting cleanup and cleaning up a big mess. Ken Blackwell was, in my view, a maligned political operator who used his position to benefit members of his party. And may I just ask as a preliminary question, are you a co-chair of the Obama-Biden campaign in Ohio this year?
No, I don't co-chair any committee.
Okay. I appreciate that because we want the top election officials in every state to be neutral and to do their best to honor the intentions of the voters.
Peter, my background is a judge, a state trial court judge in Columbus before I resigned my position as a judge to run for Secretary of State. So it's best to take that kind of a neutral arbiter attitude into the office of Secretary of State, even if you are elected by a particular political party.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've read Richard Hayes Phillips' book called Witness to a Crime. Are you familiar with that?
I am. Unfortunately, I've not had the opportunity to read it yet. I've been busy getting ready for an election.
I understand. Well, in it, he really takes a forensic look at the 2004 presidential race in Ohio, and he went county to county and collected ballots where that was still possible. As you know, there were a lot of battles over destruction of ballots, and what he learned was that he believes some ballots were pre-punched, which meant that when somebody punched their own vote on it, it became an overvote. The ballot was spoiled. There were ballots that were remarked. There's one famously from a county near Cincinnati, where you can see somebody put a little sticky note or a little piece of sticky paper over a vote for John Kerry and filled in George W. Bush in an ink and a pattern that was different from all of the other votes on that ballot. There were punch card ballots that were inserted in the wrong machines, and the law requires rotation of the names on the ballots, and so the voter had a certain intent, punched a hole, but if they were in the wrong precinct at a certain polling place, their ballot was invalidated. So these are all different ways that it appears that the election was gained in Ohio in 2004. Have you moved on from punch cards, and if so, are you satisfied that you have systems that have the highest level of integrity available?
We have moved on from punch cards. The Help America Vote Act, which was implemented in 2005 and 2006 in Ohio, eliminated the use of punch cards in the state of Ohio. But the systems that were certified at the federal level and by the Ohio Board of Voting Machine Examiners are not satisfactory, according to the study that my office performed and completed in December of 2007.
You did a top-to-bottom review, right?
Yes, it's known as the Everest Study. And we were fortunate in that we were able to study all three of our voting systems, by three, I mean three types of manufacturers in Ohio, as well as to perform a complete source code review of all three systems. We had to work very diligently with the manufacturers, as well as with our researchers, both corporate and academic, in order to gain access to the source codes to perform the review. Currently, in Ohio, we are using the Premier, formerly known as Diebold, touchscreen and one county with optical scan. Any touchscreen county, though, uses optical scan for absentee ballots. We're using the ESNS system, both iVotronic, which is the touchscreen, and then in some counties it's completely optical scan. And two counties utilize the HART system, which is essentially an optical scan system, but it has some different configurations for voting by people with disabilities.
Now, the Premier machines that you mentioned, are you satisfied that they're not hackable, that they don't have wireless ports, and that the result that comes out on the paper trail is the same as the result that went into the memory on that machine?
Well, the bigger problem we've experienced with Premier is that in nine of our counties, we've experienced vote dropping, meaning that as memory cards are uploaded into the server, votes are dropped. They've never been lost because election officials have noticed that something didn't reconcile, and they went back, and up until this year, the election officials had, local officials had thought that this was just a mistake that they had made, that it was human error. Mm-hmm. In Butler County, which is just north of Cincinnati, a very astute IT person at the Board of Elections noticed that this had occurred and knew that he had uploaded things correctly. He contacted our office. They performed some tests there. We performed tests. Initially, Premier issued a nationwide product advisory that this problem was due to interference from a antivirus software program.
Mm-hmm.
We performed more testing after conferring with the software manufacturer for the antivirus software, and we were able to find that it really was with the Premier software. Last week, Premier's president sent us a letter and acknowledged that it was an error in the coding of the software and did issue a nationwide advisory to that effect. We are stuck, for lack of a better term, with these machines for the November election, which is about 69 days away.
Right.
So we are working to provide instructions to the boards of elections on how to make sure that we monitor for this problem. When we did our study, we understood that risks are of two types: those that can be detected and those that can be recovered from. Risks that can be detected are more easily recovered from. However, risks that can't be detected are those that it's very difficult to recover from because you don't know about them. So we are not satisfied, as a short answer to your question, but mm-hmm. we will make this work because we have an election and we have to do a good job.
Will my mom in Cincinnati be able to go into her precinct and ask for a paper ballot?
In Cincinnati, yes, because they have a paper ballot system.
Oh, okay.
But in the 53 counties out of the 88 in Ohio that are using the DRE, the Direct Recording Electronic Voting Machines, there will be backup paper ballots available to voters who prefer them, if there's a problem with any of the machines or a power outage, or if the lines are to the point where a voter would prefer to vote a paper ballot rather than wait in line for a machine.
Jennifer Bruner's with us, the Secretary of State of Ohio, top election officer in the state. Cliff Arnebeck is an attorney in Columbus who has been doing some investigation into the 2004 election. Do you support the efforts to really get to the truth and find out to what extent the election may have been gamed in Ohio in 2004? I personally believe it was stolen by the Republicans.
Well, I would encourage that investigation. One of the things that we did, because litigation still is pending, was to actually call in all of the ballots, whether they were optical scan or the punch card from 2004, and they are being held in a secure, separate location in Columbus altogether. That did enable Richard Hayes Phillips to actually have access to the ballots. Unfortunately, the information that was transmitted about the court order at the time in 2006 to the boards of elections was very shoddily done by former Secretary Blackwell. There was simply an email from a paralegal indicating that the chief counsel in the office wanted the boards to know about this, and it was simply the order from Judge Marbley. Now, one of the problems is that the order was issued about 2 days after the expiration of the record retention period for the federal ballots. So there were a handful of boards that legitimately had the right to destroy those ballots. There were other situations, though, where boards received erroneous information from a prosecutor or something as mundane as they spilled a pot of coffee on the ballots.
And Jennifer Bruner, you have a button on with a picture of Stephanie Tubbs Jones, the congresswoman from Cleveland who passed away suddenly last week. She's a heroine to me. I got to meet her and talk with her on several occasions, and I was actually in Columbus in January of 2005 when she held a meeting where they started the process of challenging the certification of the presidential results from 2004. What is your sense of her contribution to election integrity?
Stephanie had tall shoulders to stand on, and when her passing was announced in Cleveland, people were in a daze for several days. For me, the deputy director of her district office is my assistant secretary of state, so I feel a close kinship with Stephanie, and she was a steadfast supporter of voting rights for all people and for integrity in election systems. The many times that I did go to Washington to talk to members of Congress, she was setting up meetings with me to make sure I talked to the right folks, and she's going to be greatly missed.
Indeed. Well, it's a real pleasure to meet you. I thank you for the work that you're doing, and I'd look forward to talking with you further about election issues in Ohio.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Jennifer Bruner, Ohio's Secretary of State, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 18 minutes after the hour, and we'll continue our live coverage from Denver's Democratic National Convention in just a moment. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Checking traffic on KRXA, starting in Salinas, Williams Road at Old Stage Road, brand new crash, two-car fender bender. It looks like it's off to the right-hand shoulder. Also 101 in both directions between Spence Road and Airport Boulevard. We have various lanes shut down for installation of a new concrete median barrier that will cause delays as you drive through Salinas. Northbound 1 after 68 Monterey, three-car crash was in the center divide. Looks like everything's been cleared off to the shoulder of the off-ramp there. CHP is on the scene. Portola Drive at 38th Avenue, motorcycle and a bicyclist mix. It up. Good luck there. Nobody injured. And 17-mile drive at Portola Road in Del Monte Forest. We have a two-car crash. That's off to the side. This is brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. Enjoy huge savings at Mancini Sleep World's Labor Day mattress sale. Rest easy with no interest until 2011 on select purchases. Visit sleepworld.com for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Denver, Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Democratic Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland joins me now. Senator, welcome.
Peter, it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you for being here. And what is your sense of the unity here? Is it going to happen? Is it all going to gel?
There's no question that the issues are so important to this country. The Democratic Party, we offer a different vision of America. We have the leaders who can bring about the change we need in our economy, in dealing with energy, dealing with international issues, bringing our troops home from Iraq. Those issues are going to dominate. And Barack Obama, he just connects with the people of this country. They know that he's real. And he'll bring the leadership we need. Joe Biden brings the experience. It's the right team for America's future.
Now, a lot of us have different ideas of change. One of the changes that I'd like to see is 60 votes in the Senate. And I'd like to see a much more robust approach to the confirmation process. Now, if we have a Democratic president, we're likely going to enjoy the nominees that he brings forward. But I'm really troubled by the Supreme Court confirmations, and notably the confirmation of Judge Mukasey as Attorney General. He has proven to be a real Bush loyalist in a different package than Alberto Gonzalez. But I really would like to see the oversight and confirmation processes work the way the Constitution intends.
Well, I agree with you, but let me just make this point. The 2006 elections made a huge difference by the Democrats taking back control of the United States Senate. It meant that we did have oversight hearings on the war in Iraq. We did have oversight hearings on the U.S. attorneys' political firing of the U.S. attorneys, the Attorney General firing U.S. attorneys. We did have oversight hearings on the abuses of power by this administration, particularly under the Foreign Information Surveillance Act. So we did have a tremendous spotlight on this administration. as a result, the people of this country know how the Bush administration has abused its power.
Now I do respect that, but with all due respect, these are often one-day news stories that don't lead to full accountability.
Well, Alberto Gonzalez is no longer around, and we have other people who have never been confirmed, as you know. But I'm going to agree with your point. We need more senators who are going to allow us to take issues up. You know, the 60-vote threshold is a filibuster. We've had now close to 100 filibusters in the United States Senate. It's an all-time record.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing in this election is getting Barack Obama elected president. But we also need to elect more Democratic senators. And I've been working with Chuck Schumer. We work today. We've been working nonstop. We have so many opportunities around the country to increase the numbers in the United States Senate.
You think you can get to 60? Is that within grasp?
I think it's possible, but I'm not making that prediction. I do think there are at least 10 to 15 Republican senators or open seats that are competitive enough that could go differently in this election. That's a huge number. We're not going to win all those. That's absolutely clear. But we could win or come pretty close to the 60 votes.
Yeah. Senator, let me just, we have limited time. Let me focus on two critical issues. I feel that the FISA amendments went too far in immunity for the phone companies and in bypassing, my Fourth Amendment right to probable cause. Will that be fixed in the future?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, I voted against the bill, as you may or may not know, and the amendment that I offered that did get on the bill is a shorter sunset so that the next administration must come back to Congress during these next 4 years to get reauthorization. I did that intentionally. That amendment was for the specific reason that I am not comfortable with this administration's approach to FISA, and I'm hoping that the next administration will come back to Congress and be more open as to what is needed. They do need authority, but we need to have protections, and what they did with the giving this retroactive immunity to me was wrong.
Mm-hmm. And there are resolutions, companion resolutions in both the House and Senate right now that really ratchet up pressure on Iran, and in my view go too far by calling for a naval blockade. Now, they're non-binding resolutions, but we've seen this Bush administration take a little bit of support and run with the ball full tilt. Do you share my concern that even before Bush leaves office, he may launch a military assault on Iran?
I'm always worried about what this administration will do because it knows no limit, and that's very, very frightening. I can tell you in talking to all of the military and diplomatic experts, I think that's not going to happen. But, you know, look, I'm worried.
I hope you're right.
About it. But what will happen, I hope, under President Obama is that you're going to see a different approach to international affairs, where we're going to work with the international community. Look, Iran's a dangerous country, but we can deal with Iran if we have unity internationally. And this administration has failed to get the type of support because of the way it goes about it. It's so arrogant. You know, you follow us. It's not a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see with an Obama administration a team approach that will get the international community supporting our values, and we'll be able to get a better policy and a more effective policy.
Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat from Maryland, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for joining us here today.
My pleasure.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break and return for more from Radio Row here at the Democratic National Convention, a mile high in Denver, Colorado. I'm Peter B. Collins. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
War on drugs? I have a better idea. Improve reality instead. Look, we've got a wonderful national anthem, but you know what? It's time that we stop affirming that bombs bursting in air, right? And I'm sorry, what is it with these ramparts? Rampart sounds very perverse to me. I don't care how gallantly they're gleaming, I don't want to look at ramparts. Only ones who should be thinking about ramparts are sheep.
That's the Swami Beyondananda. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Democrats are meeting in the Mile High City, hoping to heal divisions and take on the Republican attack machine this November. Peter B. is on the scene, bringing you the voices of change. Now, live from Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, here's Peter B. Collins.
We continue our live coverage brought to you in part by the Strick Law Office. And you can log on to their website at stricklaw.com, S-T-R-I-C-K, for more information. And also the generous support of many listeners to the Peter B. Collins Show. I really appreciate it. That's what helped us get to Denver. We're joined now by Tom Tarantino. He is with the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. He served in the Army Reserves and then moved over to the cavalry. He was a platoon leader with the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, served in Iraq north of Baghdad, and also did some of the tours around the area of Abu Ghraib, and he is a guy who grew up right in Marin County, which
is
where I live. Great to see you, Tom.
Good to see you, Peter. Thanks, Pat.
There's serious issues here, and, you know, at a convention like this, there's a lot of happy talk, there's a lot of spin talk and political buzz, and I'm trying to cut through that because I think we need to focus on really important issues. And one that Senator Obama has talked about is increasing America's troop strength in Afghanistan. And on the face of it, I think there hasn't been sufficient debate. I don't think he has, while he has talked about it as a part of a broader strategy, not just a surge of troops, but also improving diplomatic relationships, working with the neighbors in the region, working with the NATO allies who help us with the current deployment in Afghanistan.
understand. But I'm not satisfied, because I'm really concerned that we are once again sending our troops who are trained for far different things to be military police. Now, we don't have a civil war in Afghanistan, and that's a plus. But it is a country that has defied occupation by the British, by the Russians, and going back centuries by almost every outsider. So as a veteran of Iraq and someone who thinks about these issues, what is your sense of the right approach toward Afghanistan?
Well, I mean, it's a very interesting question, and I think one thing you have to look at with the difference is that when you look at the concept of what's called mission creep, where a mission suddenly gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as things progress, you really have to ask yourself, did we draw down appropriately when we drew down in Afghanistan? Were we sufficiently completed? Did we complete the mission in the first place when we were over there? Did we leave the Afghani government able to sustain the government that was set up after the fall of the Taliban regime? What's really important to my organization isn't necessarily the policy issue of the war, but how that affects the 1.7 million veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan that are currently out there and need mental health care and that need education benefits. And these are all very important discussions, but I think if we want to have a very effective discussion about military affairs and how this is going to impact people right now, we really need to look at that. If these wars were suddenly over tomorrow, there would still be 1.7 million of us out there that need services, that need care, and that's really what we're here trying to focus. Trying to focus the Democratic platform as well as the Republican platform to addressing this and go beyond the talk.
Mm-hmm. No, I respect that, and I'll talk with you in a moment about the Webb bill and about the needs of veterans. But you know, one of the things that I feel is critical for the troops currently serving is that missions be very clear. And Colin Powell, you know, to his credit, identified the critical issues that you must have sufficient force, that you must have a clear mission, and that you must have a clear exit strategy. And I don't believe that those are currently present. And I don't want to see us just increase the troop levels without having a clear sense of what they are there to do and what the triggers are for us to leave.
Right, and that's definitely part of how we have to hold our leaders accountable. For you can't simply play a game of whack-a-mole with the United States military. If you put more military presence anywhere, things are going to get calmer. Things are going to get better. But when you have to define at what point are you able to remove them and allow the situation to develop naturally. And this is definitely a question of policy, and it's a question that I think seriously needs to be asked. And I think as it pertains to current veterans and future veterans, especially with the detrimental effects of multiple deployments and post-traumatic stress syndrome, mm-hmm. and how that's affecting this generation, these are questions that really need to be asked, and these are things that the next administration of leaders, no matter which party they come from, have to be held accountable for by the American people.
Tom Tarantino from IAVA, Iraq, Afghanistan Veterans of America. They're on the web at IAVA.org. Got that right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, the Webb bill, I think, was a major step forward. I think it defined a new set of rights for GIs returning from the current wars. I still think there's a lot more work to be done, because we've seen that the medical specialists in the military have been intentionally misdiagnosing. People who come back with a traumatic brain injury or PTSD are often written up with pre-existing conditions, and they try to deny benefits and treatment. Has the situation improved as awareness has grown?
I think the situation has improved. It hasn't improved quite as fast as we would like or quite as fast as necessary, but it is getting better, and I think as the public is becoming aware of these deficiencies with the VA, they are holding them accountable, and then, of course, we are constantly hammering at the door to do things like hire more mental health professionals, train the ones they have, work with the civilian mental health population to treat veterans, because in reality, these people aren't coming home to military lives. They're coming home to our homes. They're coming home to your neighborhoods. They're coming home to their lives as civilians, and we really don't know how to transition someone from a warrior back to a civilian. We don't do that very well, yeah. And so it's critical that the VA not only reaches out to veterans that are out there that otherwise might not seek care because of a stigma or because they don't understand that something's wrong with them, but that they make that aware to the public. The IAVA is starting a three-year ad campaign. It's a public service advertising campaign with the Ad Council. It's going to launch on Veterans Day, and it's going to solely focus on reaching out out to veterans who are out there and saying it is okay to seek help. It is okay for your families to seek help. And it's going to direct them to services that can help them and that can help them readjust back to society.
Yeah. Tom, it's a pleasure to meet you. Marin County homegrown guy.
Absolutely. And, go Pirates.
I thank you for your service. And thanks for joining me here today. That's Tom Tarantino from Iraq and Afghanistan, Veterans of America, IAVA.org. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour here. We are live from Denver at the Democratic National Convention. And joining me now is Bruce Rayner. He is the general president of Unite Here. And that, of course, is the union that represents about 500,000 workers in hotels, gambling, casinos, the apparel industry, retail, distribution, and laundry. And these are some of the hardest working people in America who really often get the lowest pay and have the weakest benefits. Bruce Rayner, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Peter.
Give me a quick sketch of Unite Here's membership, and in particular, the wage levels that they currently earn.
Well, Unite Here is a union of almost 500,000 members in the hotel, restaurant, casino industries, industrial laundry workers, food service workers, apparel and textile workers, and distribution centers. We have members that earn, you know, $7, $8, $9 an hour. We've got members that earn $22 an hour in our stronger parts of the hotel industry. Yeah. A city like San Francisco, our hotel workers earn a middle class wage.
Well, and that's due to your efforts and the way that you fought the hotel operators to develop a pattern of bargaining, right?
No question. Our San Francisco hotel workers were part of a movement across the country to raise the standards of hotel workers. And despite our best efforts in most cities, hotel workers are poverty level jobs.
Yeah.
The irony is a Hyatt hotel worker in San Francisco has fully paid health care for her family. Take a housekeeper in a Hyatt hotel, has fully paid health care for her family, has a defined benefit pension, makes $16 an hour. Her counterpart, who does the same job, cleans the same rooms for the same company in Dallas, Texas, makes $8 an hour, has no health care for her children and no retirement, and works twice as hard and has more injuries than the housekeeper in San Francisco. That's the difference of a union town where the union has fought to raise standards and a non-union town like Dallas.
In a right-to-work state, and I've been a member of my union, AFTRA, for 32 years, and we refer to those right-to-work states as right-to-work for less.
That's what they are. Right-to-work is such a misnomer. It's about weakening unions.
Sure.
It's not about the rights.
A closed shop.
That's right. It's not about the rights of anyone except an employer's rights to keep workers' wages and benefits lower.
Now, Bruce, did you happen to see John McCain's interview with Pastor Warren?
No, I did not.
It was bizarre. He was asked a question about the eavesdropping on Americans under the FISA law and that whole debate.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty broad question. It was, how do you balance the interests of personal privacy with national security? And you know what he came up with in the middle of his answer about that?
What?
A blast at card check organizing. He said, I believe that, privacy is important and that we should have a secret ballot in union elections. Now, the question didn't have anything to do with domestic policy. It didn't have anything to do with labor. It was about national security and spying on Americans. And John McCain seemed programmed, like a talking point was in his head, and it just had to get out that, I've got to ding the unions. And, of course, I think it flew over the heads of most people. I don't think most people understand the difference between a card check and a secret ballot in a union certification.
Well, what that issue, Peter, is really all about, it's about whether workers have the right to organize. People like John McCain are happy with the current circumstances, which is the reality in America is if an employer doesn't want a worker to organize, then those workers have no right to organize. I'll give you a perfect example. The largest Hispanic-owned company in America is Goya Foods. In 1999, that's 9 years ago, it was one of the last times our union ran an NLRB election. The Goya workers in two facilities in Florida voted for the union. That's 9 years. The company promptly fired the four leaders. Now, in 9 years, we have won every NLRB decision. We have won every court decision. Every motion we have won.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a bargaining session. There's no union, and no one's been put back to work. The fact is John McCain likes American labor laws like they are, which is the employers make all the decisions, and if they don't want a union, they don't get a union. The majority sign up Employee Free Choice Act. It's about whether American workers regain the right to organize.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, and I support it. Bruce Rayner is here from Unite Here, the labor union. And Bruce, let's say we've got a President Obama. We get somebody at the We get somebody at the Department of Labor who's not the wife of Senator Mitch McConnell and a dedicated opponent of labor. Let's say it's just somebody neutral. And let's say we regain a fair forum at the National Labor Relations Board. What else do we need to roll back the damage that the Republican wrecking crew has done to working families and to labor unions in particular over the last 20 years?
Well, the most important thing is to regain the right to organize. It's the Employee Free Choice Act, which is would give us back what we got in 1935 when Franklin Roosevelt was president and we passed the Wagner Act, which gave workers the right to organize unions, and they did massively. The same thing was true when amendments were passed and hospital workers were given the right to organize. Thousands of them joined unions. The Employee Free Choice Act would be the most important thing to help strengthen the middle class of this country and give millions of Americans the access to the middle class. You know, the tragedy of America and what I think is the theme of today's session at this convention, because there's a lot of speakers, including a member of my union from North Carolina, who are part of the 30 million Americans that went to work this morning in the richest country in the history of mankind and earned less than a poverty-level wage for full-time work. It's part of the 47 million people in America that today have no health care, and part of the millions of Americans. In fact, 80% of workers who work have no meaningful retirement. So we are, for the first time, going back to the pre-Depression age when workers, after working 30 years in a laundry or a hotel, have to look forward to poverty in their retirement.
We need a new deal.
We sure do.
New Deal Squared. Bruce Rayner, thanks for fighting for the hardest working, least paid people in America today. I appreciate it.
Well, they're great people, and I'm proud to be associated with them.
Bruce Rayner, here, the General President of Unite Here. We're going to take a break and return. Ari Melber from The Nation will join us to wrap up our coverage tonight from the Democratic National Convention in Denver. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Brand new problem for the Pacheco Pass eastbound 152 after Bell Station. A broken down big rig, that's blocking the right hand lane. Also a new problem for the Santa Cruz Mountain southbound 17 before the summit. Broken down car, that's in the right hand lane. For Monterey County, Highway 68 at Toro Park, watch out for a shovel that's across the lanes. City streets of Salinas, Williams Road at Old Stage Road, we have an accident, just a couple of cars off to the side. Also in Watsonville, Tierra Alta Drive at Roundtree Lane, a two car crash, and that's off to the shoulder as well. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. As always, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grocery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Wow.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Global warming is here. The effects may seem slight now, but in a few decades,
they could be massive.
Heat waves, floods, and food shortages. What can we do?
We can join together.
Because when many, unite as one.
We can achieve anything.
Together, we're powerful. Find out how we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Peter B. Collins Show, live from Radio Row in Denver at the Democratic National Convention. And my pal Scott Dick just informs me that there's a photo of us at Radio Row up at Daily Coast. And after the show, I'll have to log on there and check it out. It is Tuesday in Denver, and Hillary Rodham Clinton will be speaking tonight. Ari Melber joins us from The Nation, where he's in charge of Netroots coverage, and he also freelances for Politico and where else?
I'm going on special assignment for the Washington Independent next month on O Force One.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that.
Right. And you got a whole page of posts and articles up there.
Yeah, I've started doing some Obama reporting for them in advance of the trip.
Uh-huh. Now, have you seen Alexandra Pelosi's film about my journeys with George?
I did see Journeys with George.
Are you ready for it?
It's a disturbing look at the over-choreographed world of the traveling press corps.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. We'll see if we can break through it. The idea, at least for the Washington Independent, is a nonpartisan, nonprofit, internet media,
mm-hmm.
so we can go out there and do the kind of stories and reporting that sometimes are not happening in the traditional media.
Uh-huh. Ari, I felt like we kind of dodged a bullet. I was one of those people who thought, gosh, if he picks Evan Bayh, I'm going to have to hold my nose the entire time I'm in Denver. And I find Joe Biden okay.
Evan Bayh would have really helped lead up neoconservatives for Obama, which is a tiny, tiny segment of the population.
Well, maybe some of those former Klan members from Indiana, too. he can move along.
It only took us a minute to get to the Klan.
But what's your take here? I have not heard a great deal of criticism about the Biden pick, and I'm hearing fairly predictable support for him, but I don't see over-the-top enthusiasm. Is it the bankruptcy bill? Is it the vote for the war in 2002? Is it his speaking patterns and ability to run on forever?
Well, of course, Joe Biden was just out there with the Democratic faithful, and he did not get very far. So I think naturally when you make a pick like that, you are signaling that you're not looking to shore up popular support, which you could do, of course, by picking a candidate who was in the race and generated popular support like Hillary Clinton, or one with a strong following in the party like General Wesley Clark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a signal basically that you're looking for other things, credentials, experience, type of things that the media or swing voters presumably will value. And Joe Biden brings that because of his long tenure as chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. But of course, he voted wrong on Iraq, but he has come around much stronger and better than people like Evan Bayh, who of course co-sponsored the resolution. If you want to get in the weeds, Senator Biden actually worked with Senator Lugar on an alternative resolution that might have brought us a very different foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think folks who follow this closely do see Biden as different, though flawed on the war, and they see him as someone who is a good faith actor who said he was wrong on that and who has come out and hit McCain hard and will be a good running mate. So I think he gets a B plus from the Democrats I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. And did you see Andy Borowitz dispatched a piece last week, and he said that this was even before the pick was announced, but he said Biden was working on a 50,000-word acceptance speech that
would start on Wednesday night and hopefully conclude just before Obama accepted on Thursday.
Well, I mean, here's what I can tell listeners, what they might not know from the traditional coverage. You know, the Barack Obama's campaign is incredibly disciplined, and so they are going to be writing, vetting, and handling Senator Biden's speech here and a lot of the other messaging. There's an issue there. You know, it's not so much that Senator Biden is gaffe prone all the time. I mean, we get clips of that, but it's also that he had, you know, no disrespect, a fairly second tier campaign staff. The idea that he was even doing an interview with the New York Observer, which has no resonance for voters in Iowa or anywhere else, and is known as widely known as a snarky publication, where, of course, that gaffe, the first comment he made, which was about Senator Obama being articulate, among other things.
And clean.
Well, you said it. you know, started and sort of ended his presidential run. But I do think that surrounded with better people, at least with regard to message discipline, I think he'll be fine. Now, there's a lot of other important things he's got to do that are different than that. But I don't think we're going to see a gaffe-prone Joe Biden over these next 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Joe Biden will toughen up the Obama campaign and give us more robust responses to McCain?
I hope so. I was speaking to a member of his Senate staff, basically, who was saying that he's raring to go, and the main thing they're hoping as a team, this was this morning at a luncheon that Arianna Huffington had put together, but this person was saying they just hope that they're fully greenlit. We talked about, actually, the debate over Wes Clark's very factual, very appropriate mm-hmm. criticism of John McCain,
yeah.
An area where the Obama campaign basically tried to have it both ways, and I think lost the media war on that, and they were mm-hmm. saying that Senator Biden's ready to come out there and make the same kind of criticisms, and they just hope they're greenlit.
Yeah. What about the POW card? Who was that joker we had earlier, Katrina, the McCain guy who was on Jason, somebody? Anyway, today. What was his name? I want to get it right. Jeff. Okay, Jeff's whoever he was. Anyway, you know, last night on The Tonight Show, Jay mm-hmm. Leno popped a question to McCain about all these homes that he and Cindy own, and he responded with a POW comment. He said, well, I spent 5.5 years without a kitchen table. Now, the Democrats have to come up with a way to parry that. It's kind of almost as insidious as the Clarence Thomas nomination, where this is off the, you know, you cannot comment on it because somehow you would be impugning his patriotism and his service.
Look, the fact is John McCain served his country with honor, like so many other people, and the fact is that John McCain has been wrong on every major foreign policy issue that the country faces today, that John McCain's service a long time ago is not a relevant qualification for making military policy decisions, which is what Wes Clark was saying, mm-hmm. someone who, as a four-star, has made those kind of decisions and reported to the commander-in-chief. And it's also something that comes back to Senator John McCain's problems as a person. He has a temperament problem. He has an anger problem. It's well documented. He is not stable in judgment or in his temperament, and those are issues that the public has to consider as they weigh his bid for the presidency. And, you know, if John McCain wants to come around and play the POW card every time we ask him about anything, tax policy, his incredible personal wealth, which mm-hmm. tracks with a very elitist, wealthy tax plan, you know, he does that at his own political peril. I don't think people are going to accept that as an answer for everything.
Yeah. Ari Melber, it's always great to talk with you. Good luck on the Obama campaign trail, and we'll talk to you along the way.
Thank you both.
All right, good to have you here. That's Ari Melber from The Nation. And I just learned that our flagship station in Monterey, KRXA, will be broadcasting the Obama acceptance speech live, and Scott Dick will be live from the theater doing interviews and simulcasting, so check that out on Thursday evening. We hope to be in the stadium, but we're still awaiting clearance. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Denver. This program brought to you in part by Strict Law, on the web at strictlaw.com. Green 960's live coverage of the Democratic National Convention is sponsored by Strict Law Office. This is Peter B. Collins inviting you to catch the live stream this week 3 to 6 p.m. at green960.com. The Strict Law Office in San Rafael represents people like you who've been hurt through the fault of another. An auto accident, medical malpractice, workplace injury, products, drugs. Larry Strick was named a finalist as Street Fighter of the Year in 2007 by the Consumer Attorneys of California, and he's ready
to fight for you. Visit his website at stricklaw.com and find out more about their services. Call toll-free 888-529-0909. That's stricklaw.com, 888-529-0909. When you're represented by the Strick Law Office, you have the confidence that one of the Bay Area's most able attorneys is representing your interests. There's no fee for initial consultation. Call 888-529-0909.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Howard Arenstein, live at the Democratic National Convention in Denver, where delegates like Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell are going on the attack tonight against John McCain.
For the last 8 years, the Bush-Cheney team stonewalled the taxing of oil company profits and prevented efforts to promote alternative energy production. And guess who voted with the Bush administration 90% of the time? John McCain!
Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano said she wanted to say something positive about her home state senator.
When I heard him say that the economy is not an issue he understands as well as he should, my problem was solved. Because I can say to you tonight positively that John McCain is right. He doesn't understand the economy as well as he should.
Senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield says some delegates tonight are saying it's about time.
A lot of Democrats thought at this point they would be well ahead of the Republicans given the unpopularity of the president and the economic conditions. And I do think that there's this kind of impatience. When are we going to go after John McCain? Especially since 4 years ago at the Kerry Convention in Boston, they said no negativity, and they thought it hurt.
The big speaker of the evening, Hillary Clinton, has the added job of convincing her supporters who are skeptical that the only way to beat McCain is to join forces with Barack Obama. She reportedly is ready to say, "We are all on the same side now," and make clear how she feels about the choice of McCain versus Obama. I'm Howard Arenstein, live in Denver. More news now from Harley Carnes.
We are making more money in America.
Median household income for the nation increased 1.3%, $50,200. 2007.
At the same time, the Census Bureau's David Johnson says the percentage of people in poverty stayed the same, though the number of children under the line is higher. And the number of people who have no health insurance has gone down. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 27 points, NASDAQ off almost 4. Oil prices up on the news of the approach of Hurricane Gustav, $116 plus a barrel. An Iranian-born former student who said he wanted to kill Americans to avenge fellow Muslims is going to prison. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Just after his arrest in March of 2006, former college student Mohammad Tari Azhar told reporters he drove his SUV into a group of students at the University of North Carolina to avenge the deaths of Muslims at the hands